join the Mark Order. Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast, ya bitches. What's up, man? What's up, Kate? How you guys doing?
Good. It's nice to have you back, buddy.
It's good to be back, although you guys couldn't even make it 2 minutes into the show last week without talking shit about me. Like, I would rather fucking work than do this. How rude.
Oh, you were working?
You know I was working. I sent you pictures. You dick.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, we have to live the kayfabe, right?
Kayfabe, bro. Yeah, thank you, man.
I thought we were done doing the kayfabe shit.
The kayfabe never ends, man.
They said you were like Shaq and we didn't know what happened to you. If you just went into an ambulance and you disappeared.
It's not true. I thought we were done trying to fool people.
Always no, kayfabe. Listen. You have to live the kayfabe. That's how we roll. There's no other way of doing this. It's a wrestling podcast and you're not going to live the kayfabe? What is this, amateur hour?
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes, it is amateur hour. I don't know. You are asking a lot out of me. It's hard to live many gimmicks. I can't pull off the Mick Foley thing. I can't be Mick Foley and Dude Love. I got this new thing where I take my shirt off now during every show. Like, there's a lot going on here.
You guys got real topless over there on the Monday night show.
You know what? It was a good time. Although it is a little chillier tonight. And I, as much as I'm not a big Bully Ray fan, this Bully Ray t-shirt is quite soft and comfy, so.
Wait, can you show the people? I want to see the shirt. Nice. That's a cool shirt.
Yes.
That is a good one.
You're not a big Bully Ray guy, though, so what inspired you to get that shirt?
It was one of my t-shirts in my pro wrestling crate, my monthly
Okay.
Let's see. Let me just... Okay, we're live on the rant. We're live on Facebook.
And we're talking... 1 week, you don't remember if we're live or not.
You know what, Anthony? I got to press a lot of fucking buttons over here. I got to do the intro. I got to make sure that we're live on Facebook. We're live on the rant. The garage band is recording. The intros are playing proper. But we're good. I feel good. I've had a very refreshing week. I started the farmer's market on Sunday, so I got up real early, and then I've kind of been doing it the rest of the week. I know there's people out there who probably wake up really early every day for their jobs and nonsense. That's not me. I'm not that guy. I'm the late night guy. I'm the guy who lays in his bed and plays blackjack till 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh. Wins a lot of money and then wakes up and tells my wife, I won a lot of money playing blackjack.
So I'm surprised you tell it since it's going right out the door to figures.
No, no. Wait, you want to talk about some figures, Kate?
No.
We could do figure talk. Oh.
I got some figures yesterday in the mail. We got a good old Dusty Rhodes here. I haven't even opened these yet. We got the ultimate Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh.
Nice.
We got the Hulkster without his bed sheet.
If it came with the bed sheet, I would be all for it.
It should come with a thermos. Oh, wait, it already does.
I got a little doot-doot-doot, Mr. Michael P.S. Hayes.
Wow.
It's a good-looking figure.
And my Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 12.
Yes, I've seen a lot of those on... I've seen a lot of those on the gram. People gramming those.
Yeah, so this was an order that was just waiting on him to be on the Warrior, so this showed up yesterday while I was doing adult things. I had to take a fence down in my backyard yesterday. No, Monday. That stupid dog fence that they put up, I took that shit down.
You nice. Don't have dogs, so no. That makes sense.
I did adult things. Monday and Tuesday, I adulted. Today I worked. Nice. Today I worked all day. Now I podcast. Now I talk about wrestling with my two great friends.
I adulted a little bit this weekend. We've been in our house for 7 years and we finally hung stuff on the walls. So it was productive. But it took forever because there were a few walls where we were hanging stuff and it had to be very precise. Like, you know, multiple things on the wall. So we wanted it in like a specific pattern. And on one wall, not everything was the same size. So to get it set up the way we needed it, we had to hang one thing in the middle. And then I had to like mark up one hole. And then everything had to be like measured off of that photo on the left side. And then on the right side, there were three photos, all different sizes. We had to measure all that out. It took me like an hour just on one wall. But everything else went smooth. So
nice.
Yeah.
Did I adult this weekend at all? I've been cleaning the shit out of my apartment still, which is awesome because I just keep getting rid of stuff.
Keep talking, but Kate. Joe Walsh wants to see what the second figure was. He couldn't see it, so.
It is a little dark, but it is a really sexy Macho Man Randy Savage. Now it's just a glare. Jesus, it's a glare of me.
All right, well, I'm trying to appease Joe Walsh, who doesn't, I guess he doesn't know how Facebook works. He sent me like a message yesterday about what wrestlers he thinks would benefit if they never got hurt during their career. And I didn't even respond to him because
it's old news.
The thread is there. That's not for, don't fucking send me messages. And he called me the mush, but he's the one that's the Yankee fan. He's probably using my extra innings to watch them lose, have the worst record in baseball, but I'm the mush.
Well,
nah, not today, Joe Walsh. Not today.
You're mushy. I don't know if you're the mush.
You know
you're
what? Mushy. That's good point. I am a little mushy in the tushy.
I think the Yankee offense is a little mushy, you guys.
So is the Mets offense, so don't you worry about that. They're getting shellacked right now by the Cubs.
What's going on with Lindor, man?
He hit a solo jack tonight.
People are just heating up. Last season was a weird season because it was like 12 games.
But watching the Yankees right now is like watching the Cleveland Indians in Major League before they got good. It's just nothing happening. It's really piss poor.
What are your, for both of you, top like three baseball movies?
Top three baseball movies.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Bull Durham.
That doesn't even make my list. I hate that movie.
Really?
Yep.
Hate it. Can't stand it.
And Major League.
Nice.
That also would make my list. If I had to pick a third one, man, I'd have to just say The Sandlot.
Okay. You know what? Yeah.
Respectable. Very respectable choices.
Rookie of the Year is very close.
Big League?
Sorry?
Do you remember the movie Little Big League? Did you
I
ever
do.
See the
yes.
Movie?
The grandfather dies and he leaves the Minnesota Twins to his 13-year-old nephew.
Young then, Billy Haywood. Yes.
Yes. And then his mother falls in love with the catcher. Right? He was a catcher?
Third baseman, Luke Whatever. Collins. But a lot of people, that's an underrated one of that era. Everybody breaks toward the rookie.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
No. But wait, I thought the rookie was with Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
I think it was.
What's the stupid one with Brendan Fraser where he pitches the perfect game and he strikes yes. everybody out?
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about. That one's with oh god. I can't remember who else is in that movie, but he's who makes the movie because he's just great.
The Scout.
But yeah,
The Scout. Yes. There we go.
Kate,
you know what?
Who's the lead in that?
A League of Their Own would be that and Sandlot are right there. I like A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own is on mine, of course, because I was a young girl baseball fan. I'd probably go. I would probably do A League of Their Own. Field of Dreams. Probably Major League, but I really like Bull Durham.
I'm surprised you didn't put Summer Catch on your list.
Well, no. What was the one about the Red Sox with Jimmy Fallon and
Drew Barrymore?
That piece of shit movie.
Is it only a piece of shit movie because the Red Sox won the World Series that year?
Of course. I mean, I've never seen it because of that.
that was, I believe, Fever Pitch. And
yes.
It was a piece of shit because of that. But also, Jimmy Fallon's just awful.
Yeah, he's bad.
It's just terrible. Where does Rookie of the Year or Angels in the Outfield rank for anybody?
No. I hate Rookie of the Year.
I don't mind it.
I put Little Big League about both of those.
I'm with you. Oh, Old Man Tony chiming in. Mr. Baseball.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
With Tom Selleck.
That is a good one.
And Joe Walsh counters with The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes.
Oh, right. That's
61.
I've seen it.
61 was
great. Yeah. Now, Major League and Major League 2. Do you show any love for Major League 2?
I enjoy Major League 2. Marbles. Yeah.
So,
marbles.
So do I.
You have no marbles.
I know people who absolutely hate Major League 2.
No,
like
they
won't
just want to. They don't actually. They just want to hate Major League 2. Major League 2 is great.
Is
a baseball movie?
What?
Does basketball count as a baseball movie?
I don't think so.
Anything Trey Parker and Matt Stone is like up here, and then there's a huge gap and everything else.
I love basketball. Anytime I catch it on TV, I stop and watch it.
The Bergman comes in for the love of the game with Kevin Costner.
It's my third favorite of the three Costner baseball movies, but it's a pretty good movie. It's just not, it's no Field of Dreams or Bull Durham to me.
People are going to make fun of me when I say this. I kind of enjoy Summer Catch.
You put that on me. And then secretly,
put
you
down.
Like,
wow. Oh, and you know what else is a good movie that I don't think gets enough credit? Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out is excellent.
It's a very good movie.
I fucking love baseball and baseball movies.
Oh, and I mean, if we're talking baseball movies. Oh, no, never mind. That was the Gale Sayers, the Brian Piccolo movie.
Brian's song?
Yes.
That's not even close to baseball. That's football. That's like saying my favorite baseball movie is Slapshot.
Draft Day, my favorite baseball movie.
Or Little Giants.
Fox? Oh, classic.
Did we just name every baseball movie?
And I'm sure not
there's
everyone.
There's got to be more, but
we went through a lot.
Ones that matter.
If we're getting to basketball, we've covered good ground.
I mean, it's no Juana Man, but, you know, basketball counts.
What?
Steve Perry.
Yeah, I don't know. People often argue with me about Bull Durham. I don't like it. I just don't know what it is. I don't buy Kevin Costner as the surly baseball vet. He doesn't do it for me.
T-Dunk coming in with Mr. 3000.
Holy
Bernie Mac movie.
That's right. Pour one out for Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac's dead?
Yeah, that's
Moneyball.
Yeah. Moneyball is an okay adaptation. It wasn't bad. Again,
we
Brad
did not
Pitt
mention The Natural.
That's Holy true. Shit. The Natural.
That's bad.
Oh, also, what was the one with Clint Eastwood? Something about the curve.
Trouble
right?
with the Curve.
That's it. Trouble with the Curve. 40, it's a baseball movie.
42,
it is. No, four, it meets the parameters of this discussion.
42.
Was that the recent one with Chadwick Boseman as Jackie Robinson?
Yes.
That was actually pretty good. But
I
it's
need
just
to get
not
that color watch.
It doesn't, for me, it's just, it's too recent to have like that staying power, you know? Like Field of Dreams, I'll watch it anytime. And then when we get to the end, I'm like, if Gene is in the room, I'm like, just don't look at me.
Boys,
don't look at me.
I am so disgusted with myself right now. How did none of us mention the fucking Bad News Bears?
Oh, because there's a lot of baseball movies. They're just like,
yeah,
off the top of your head. Little Big League is like one that I've had some serious debates off of. That's why it was like fresh on my brain. But it's just like the ones I've watched most recently.
Keanu Reeves, Hardball.
I don't like that one.
I think I actually saw it.
I saw it. I hate it. Bad News Bears is fine, but can we just forget that they ever remade it?
Absolutely.
Remake is trash. Okay.
What about Air Bud?
That's basketball, unless you're talking like Air Bud 3.
We're talking Air Bud 7th inning fetch.
Out of town and take a bus. I love puns, and even I'm like...
That's not true. In the back of your mind, you're like, what a fucking great title.
Apparently Ed falls under baseball movies. That's Matt LeBlanc and a monkey.
That is not a baseball movie. That's Matt LeBlanc and a monkey.
No, he's right. It's a monkey who can pitch.
Ugh.
And I've seen most of these movies because of HBO. Like I've often told people, like if it's on HBO, I'll sit and watch almost anything. Like I've seen like some really terrible movies that you'd be like, why would you even sit and watch that? Like I've seen Made in Manhattan on HBO. I've seen, what's it, Bride Wars or whatever with fucking Anne Hathaway. I'll sit and watch almost anything, but I'll tell you this in all seriousness, if I ever catch Drumline on, it's fucking staying and I'm watching it.
Drumline's great.
Fantastic movie. That tops the baseball movie list for me. Drumline.
I'm going to go two more.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Why, I just lost it. God damn it. Oh, okay. Three more. Cobb. Right? The Ty Cobb movie with Tommy Lee Jones.
But I would probably
I've never seen it, but I'm with Kate.
John Goodman as the Babe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right now, is Brewster's Millions, is that a baseball movie? Do we consider that a baseball movie?
I mean, it's close, but I don't think that that's the heart of that movie. Like, he happens to be a ball player, but I guess it gets the hometown nod, right? It's a New Jersey movie.
I love that baseball movies can include everything from Matt LeBlanc and a monkey up to, like, 42.
right.
What a beautiful subgenre that we get all of these things. There's angels in the outfield and also 61.
That's right. And Angels in the Outfield was a remake, the Disney one, right? That was what about Pride of the Yankees?
Ooh.
No,
I don't even know. Man, there's a lot of fucking baseball movies. I'm like now trying to think of like my top five and my top tens, and I don't even know if that's in there. But man,
it's a lot of.
That's a good call.
Yeah, a lot of baseball movies. But this is not a baseball podcast. This is the Mark Order podcast. Your place for all AEW things in the world. And now that we've caught up with each other, hopefully you are catching up with us, following us on social media at Mark Order Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Don't even know what a TikTok is. All right. Mark Order Pod, though. You pop that in your search engine, you find us. There's that beautiful logo that's behind Anthony's head. If you can't see it, you're not watching us on Facebook, shame on you. It's an awesome design of a hand with a microphone in it. And if you see that, you hit that follow button, then you're in. You've joined the Mark Order. You're not listening alone. You're with us. You're with others, like-minded individuals. And that's what it's all about. Starting an army, a cult. Wait, we're not supposed to talk about that. Disregard. Disregard.
No.
Cabana.
We're just a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no cult. What's a cult?
Only my boyfriend, Colt Cabana.
Kate, how many boyfriends do you have here?
Too many. She keeps adding to the list.
Trevor, Colt Cabana, CM Punk.
CM Punk's not my boyfriend. He's just my
side piece.
And I watch wrestling.
Okay.
Meltzer.
Right. Sean Ross, whatever. Sapp now.
Sean Ross, Sapp. I might be trading in Meltzer for a younger, sexier wrestling journalist.
Wow. I don't think anyone's ever referred to Sean Ross Sapp as sexy, but God bless you for putting the work in, Kate. Good for you.
He's awesome, man.
That's not... You didn't say, I'm going to trade in for an awesome dude. You said a sexy.
I'm trading him in for a younger model, you know what I mean? And by that, I mean a more accurate wrestling journalist.
So if you're out there and you're listening, please take a look at Sean Ross Sapp. Let Kate know if you think he's sexy. Because, look, different strokes for different folks. I convinced a woman to marry me, and the people that have watched this show or the Monday Night Show and seen the ridiculous shit I do, everyone's got a taste, right, I guess?
Oh, yeah, you outkicked your coverage, miles and miles and miles.
If anyone's listening to this, in an hour and 25 minutes, it will be April 22nd. It will be my wife's birthday. Be sure to wish my wife a very happy birthday, please.
Happy birthday, Rhiannon.
Yeah. Taking her to Beetle House tomorrow night.
What's a Beetle House?
It is a
Beetle House.
It is a Tim Burton-inspired restaurant in the city.
That's so cool.
Where is Halloween every day.
Where is it in the city?
It is down by the Bowery, I think.
That is rad, and I have a friend who's absolutely obsessed with Beetlejuice, so I have to tell her that.
So I made some reservations. We're going to do a little late-night dinner. I'm going to have a spicy jalapeno margarita.
Oh, God, we know how that's going to end. How you and Tony just resetting your pant-shitting clocks.
I've not shit my pants in quite a bit of time now.
Again, only for boys is that an accomplishment.
Do you have one of those chalkboards somewhere at home? Like, we have gone X amount of days without incident?
No, because then if I start counting, then it's going to turn into like a game.
Like Dwight and the nonsense in The Office?
Yeah.
It has been 0 days since our last nonsense.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just, sometimes as you get older, they sneak up on you. Farts turn to sharts. Okay? It's not like a full-blown, I dropped a fucking log in my drawers. All right? It's a fart that turns into a shart. You push a little too hard, and it's like when the cat sneezes in my face in the morning. It's unnecessary, but it happens. I don't like it, but it happens. Do I say, oh, Trixie, please sneeze in my face this morning while I'm sleeping to wake me up and shoot your cat boogers all over my face? No, I don't ask her to do that.
I don't know what you're into, man. Fucking weird.
Yes, weird, definitely.
Yeah,
I have a question for you guys, unrelated, but now I can't not think of it. Someone told me that this sweater, which you can see the colors of, looks like those cups from the 90s. And now I can't unsee it.
Like the ones that are at the barbecue?
Yes.
The paper cups with the weird design on the top?
The wavy bottom, yeah.
I see it.
I can't unsee it now. You're missing a good time if you're not watching in the Facebook chat.
Yeah, that's the right color scheme, Kate, but it's not the right pattern. So I think you're dodging a bullet there.
And I don't have, there's like that one little squiggle of purple that's not in here.
It looks purple. Looks purple on my camera.
It's indigo.
Where's your giant white girl light? Is it on? It doesn't seem bright enough as it usually is. Usually you're all lit up. I mean, you're lit up, but it's not lighting up everything. Oh, man.
I'll tell you what. After Monday night's show, no one is ever going to look as good as a shirtless Tombstone Jesus, so
just move, oh, I just thought you were going to put yourself and Tony over.
No. I look like fucking shit. Are you kidding me? It's hysterical to listen back to, but it's like that man was made for whatever his couch. He looked like he was just glistening there sitting on his couch.
He got all healed up for you. He was baby oiled. He was ready to rumble right there.
It's a lot of work for us, a little old podcast.
Maybe man, instead just... of talking about baseball movies, next time we'll talk about wrestling movies.
Well, we could.
We could. We could. I mean, go down.
We could talk about wrestling in general.
All right. If you'd steer the ship there, like, boss man.
Like we'd do a podcast about it or something?
Sure. So let's jump in. Yeah, let's jump into last week. Let's jump in. So last week was the first week that we had unopposed AEW Dynamite on. We have to bring it up because they broke a million viewers handily last week in the 18 to 49 demographic. I think everybody thought we'd see the ratings jump. I don't know if anybody thought we'd get over a million. They netted 1,219,000 viewers. That's a 0.44 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, which is exactly where you want to be. And that was up over 500,000 viewers from the prior week when they were competing with NXT's special show. So they moved up from fifth to second place in the demo for the night last week. Now, something I posed to you guys, and I think it was going on in the Discord too, was, is this sustainable? Do we think that they're going to be able to sustain around a million a week, you know, from this point on? I mean, I personally haven't seen anything about the NXT ratings except for the fact that they gained some ground. You know, they showed some increases. Again, I think the fact that it's unopposed is obviously helping everybody. But for AEW specifically, since that's what we're talking about, do you think it's sustainable? Do you think they can stay around a million viewers weekly from this point on?
I think so. 1.2 is also not just a million. 1.2 is a huge number. They were also second in overall cable ratings. I think they can sustain over a million. I don't know if they'll sustain over a million right now. I think if they get Samoa Joe, they'll sustain over a million. But you gotta also keep in mind that they, well, first of all, part of the jump was because, as you said, they were up against Stand and Deliver, right? So they were up against NXT going into Mania Week. There's going to be a huge jump because they were taking a bite out of that. If I didn't do this podcast, I probably would have watched Stand and Deliver. I think they can sustain a million a week. I don't know if it's going to happen right this second, but like 1.2 really got me. Cause it wasn't like they popped a million for a couple segments. They were at a million. They were over a million, well over a million for the entire episode. So it's not people just tuning in for Tyson. It's wrestling fans tuning in. So I think they can do it. I think they're silly if they don't run out and get Samoa Joe, and I think he will legitimately probably get eyes on the product and keep them up if they deem to do that. So yes, I think it's sustainable. I don't know if it's sustainable this second. I'm sure some of that was for Tyson, but the fact that it was 1.2 and not like 1.009 or something, and that it was for the whole episode, makes me optimistic that they could, especially when they start traveling again in July.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely something that that's being talked about too, right? So they're talking about JR, I guess, on his podcast, Grillin' JR, had mentioned that the plans, I guess, are right now that they're going to actually start touring again in July. So they'll be hitting the road. But also, I mean, in addition to kind of, is this sustainable? Apparently the rumors out there that the mentality at the WWE now has changed on AEW because they had such high viewership for the first unopposed show. So even though they're not competing directly now, I guess, Matt, in addition to the question about, do you think this is sustainable? Do you think now the WWE pushes really hard to elevate themselves, because that's the rumor, is that the mentality is totally different now? They popped, since AEW popped a huge number on their own, you know, they see this as now a really big threat.
I love AEW. I don't think they are a threat to the WWE. I don't think they ever will be a threat to the WWE. And that is, it's just, people who watch the WWE are going to watch every single week, no matter what. It's not the Monday Night Wars. It's not that era where, you know, 7 million people were watching wrestling on a Monday night. We're just not there. We're in a completely different time. I don't know if... I think they can sustain a million views, but you need to pull the viewer in, and I think you need to tell good stories. And I think that's maybe why people leave, you know, people who aren't happy with Raw, they don't watch Raw, they'll watch SmackDown. They will watch NXT. They will now watch AEW because now, as you said, unopposed, obviously, it's a win for every wrestling fan. I don't think Samoa Joe will move the needle. I think it'll be an awesome signing, but I don't think he's moved the needle, because I don't think he was really showcased that great in the WWE. And I think, unfortunately, his best days are behind him. His Ring of Honor and his Impact days are behind him. Look, he's a great talent. It'll be awesome to see him in there with Kenny and with Moxley and stuff, but I don't think that's like, you know, look, 1.2 is nothing to sneeze at, but I don't think we're gonna, you know, skyrocket to 2 million. You know, that takes time, and for them to do that, their episodic TV has to be, the stories have to make sense, they have to be good, there has to be, you know, a nice flow to it, versus, you know, Raw, people tune in, but it's like, you know, everyone was kind of happy about the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, but then apparently this Monday night was like complete dog shit. Like, so people either are watching or they're hate watching. And you hope that AEW can just give consistent TV where more people keep tuning in and they're enjoying it versus them hate watching. There's always going to be haters. But I think they can sustain a million. You know, well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow when the ratings come out. But last week was a great show. And if you tuned in for the first time, I don't see why you wouldn't tune in this week to see more of the same. And obviously, you know, the Young Bucks against Death Triangle is not something that's on TV every week. We could only be so lucky if it was, but maybe, you know, that pulled you in and now you found something that you liked, and hopefully more people do that. But the WWE stuff is just silly. Like, I don't know where these reports come from. You know, like, they're going to take AEW more seriously now. Like, stop. No, they're not. They're still doing dumb shit on Raw. Like, NXT is doing its thing. Like, they know they cater to the same fan base as AEW, so as long as NXT is doing well, their fans are happy. And if they tune over to AEW, that's a win for AEW.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really surprises me, I guess, about the rating was that, you know, it was 1.2. Like, we're all saying that's huge. But it wasn't even like a special show. Like, it was just a standard AEW weekly show. It wasn't like, you know, Winter is Coming or, you know, St. Patrick's Day Smash or whatever it was. It was just the standard weekly show. So that's what kind of surprised me. It wasn't billed as anything special. It was just a weekly TV show. So I was just really surprised by it. But let's see what happens this week.
I think that's what happens when you take two very similar shows that present the same style of wrestling and then you don't put them on the same night. And now fans can watch both, and I think everybody wins there. And then again, to your point, Ann, I don't know what the NXT ratings were for last week, but I would imagine they were well.
They did like 850,000, which was a very strong number for them. And I just have to say, too, like, I do watch the WWE products as well. I've said it before. I usually have Wizards on my laptop and Raw on in the background. Raw after Mania was a complete failure. And last week, they've just had so much 50-50 booking. It just felt like a rerun of Raw after Mania. So if WWE is worried about AEW, they've got to look internally first, because there's been plenty of times where I haven't liked what WWE was doing. Goldberg, for example. But the ratings were there. So you were like, well, it at least makes business sense. They are at bottom of the basement ratings, which I think is why maybe they're taking AEW more seriously. It's not about AEW's 1.2. It's about their own 1.75 or whatever bullshit they're pulling. So I think they have a lot of things to straighten out internally before they go worrying about any other program or competition that's on a different night. Like AEW Elevation is not competing with Raw. No. So they're not really competing in my eyes.
Well, the Federation has a few things they can look forward to pop their ratings, right? Becky Lynch coming back, and a couple other people. It won't be Ronda Rousey. She's pregnant, but you know, we'll see what happens. I'm with Matt though. Like, there's no ratings war. You know, and I also agree, as much as I love AEW, I don't think that they're at a level even close being able to overtake the WWE. I mean, when you've been around as long as they are, you know, it will take a lot to knock you off your spot. And they're just not there. They're not going to do it. And I love AEW, but it's just not realistic. And there's no ratings war. There wasn't even when they were both on Wednesday night, you know. So it's just interesting to see. And we said it before when they were competing, we're not looking at ratings for a war, you know, from a ratings war perspective. It's just interesting to see. I was shocked at that number for the first week unopposed. I thought that was super high. I thought close to 1,900,000 to 1,000,000 would be right around where they come in. But 1.2 was a shocker. So we'll see tomorrow, folks, what the second week unopposed brings AEW. But yes, Matt,
I think the only two things that would move the needle for AEW, like really move the needle, like NWO move the needle, there's two names.
Mm-hmm.
Right? John Cena and CM mm-hmm. Punk.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
CM Punk.
I didn't hear the second one.
It was Punk.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think if they signed Samoa Joe, you got a real shot at Punk. I think they would love to tell that story on a national television show. And he said he's wanted to work with new talent, but boy, oh boy, that would be something. I want to see Samoa Joe and Eddie Kingston all day, every day. But I think if you want to lure CM Punk out of retirement and you're Tony Khan, I think Samoa Joe is a hell of a way to do it.
And again, we're just speculating, right? Like, Samoa Joe hasn't been rumored to be anywhere yet. So we're just hoping maybe that Samoa Joe goes to AEW. And I guess with their track record of taking wrestlers on who haven't been cleared to wrestle elsewhere, might make it seem realistic that they could land Samoa Joe. But we're still ways away from that, right? He's got, you know, like 80 something days left.
Yes.
So, well, I think we're all looking forward to Sunday, right, folks? Sunday night is the Big Rebellion pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And while it's not AEW, it is a big crossover news, because AEW and Impact are having Impact is having the pay-per-view, which is Rebellion, Sunday, April 25th. And it's going to be Champion versus Champion, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega. And I guess Thursday night, now I didn't see it live, but Thursday night there was a press conference and Kenny Omega got into it and slapped Rich Swann at their quote unquote press conference on Impact Television. So there's a big build to this, but I guess the reason I bring this up, guys, is it seems like while Impact is really kind of building to this, it's almost been absent on AEW. Do you find like they're not necessarily dropping the ball, but like, are they doing their part here? I know their champion is showing up on Impact TV, but don't you think they'd mention it like more than just, and we'll talk about what happened tonight, but there was a Rebellion commercial on tonight in Picture in Picture, and they mentioned it in a segment tonight about the match happening Sunday. But that's really all I think I've heard about it on AEW television. Do you think it's been kind of like a one-sided partnership here?
Yeah, I think AEW's done a piss poor job of this. Actually, I think it's ridiculous that you have a champion versus champion match coming up. It's not even just promoting Impact on their program. It's saying, hey, I could lose the AEW championship somewhere else. That should be a big deal to this company. I feel like they've completely botched that. Who knows with taping schedules and COVID protocols and all of that kind of stuff, but like, you gotta at least mention it. like way more than you have. It should be a very, very big deal that somebody on a different promotion could end up with Kenny Omega's AEW championship. So I think, and we can get into it later, but I thought there was a place where Swan might show up tonight, which he didn't. It ended up being other people, which didn't make me mad based on who they were. But yeah, I feel like they have not done a great job of promoting it on Dynamite at all.
Do they need to promote it on Dynamite, though?
Yes.
Why?
Because their championship is going to be up for grabs somewhere. The most prized possession in AEW could just be lost somewhere else. I think we all feel like we know how the booking's going, but it should be a big enough deal that the most important thing on AEW could just be lost to somebody else.
And at the press conference, Scott D'Amore and Tony Khan both guaranteed there will be a definitive winner. So this one of these belts is going to be on the other promotion for a little bit. So,
and you have Don,
I agree with
there. Like,
right,
you have a guy from the other place.
Like, I mean, I
but you have to I imagine that people who are watching AEW know that Kenny Omega is going to defend his title at this pay-per-view, right? And why would you waste your airtime to promote another company's pay-per-view?
But is it even airtime or even just, but it's not even, to me, it's not even airtime, Matt. Like they like haven't even said it on commentary. Like up until tonight, I don't think I've even heard them mention it in passing, that he was going to be fighting, you know, for another title. And it was such a big story early on where, you know, he's talking about collecting hardware and it's like, they just haven't mentioned it. I feel it's been a little strange because if it's such a big thing to the other promotion that you're working with, that you have a working relationship and their talent, like they're tagged, they have a tag team who's been on AEW TV consistently and Don Callis has been there. How are you at least not going to mention it? Like, again, not selling commercials, but like just mention it in passing on commentary.
It beats me. I mean, maybe Impact is content with what they have on their channel. I don't know. It's a weird situation. When I think of world champions, like with all due respect to Impact, like they're not there. You know, you listen to like countless interviews of like, you know, Hulk Hogan and Rob Van Dam and you know, people be like, they come back to the WWE and they'd be like, where you been for the last 6 years? I've been in TNA. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. I just don't think it's, I think they get a better rub from having Kenny on their TV versus like, you know, they're going to mention Impact. If people know, they know. I don't know. It's a weird, like, unless this is part of the story. You know, like Tony Khan, I guess, was on Busted Open today and he said like they won't mention it on TV because Impact isn't paying for for ads or some weird thing. And then
it was a rib about his own. He was like, our paid spots are really paid spots on Impact, so we're not gonna. That sounded more like a rib than anything. But then he went on to promote it. He was like, we're not gonna promote Impact because we actually pay for our time on Impact. And then he went on to promote Rebellion at length.
Like, if Kenny shows up next Wednesday with the Impact title, you know, they got to mention it. I just don't know.
I feel like it's bonkers to have the most prized possession of your program be up for grabs and to just completely, like, not really mention it at all. That's weird.
Right.
Well, I mean, but it's not the like... Other thing... I'm sorry, Anna. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the other thing too, man, is that the flip side of it, what if in some way he loses the title to Rich Swann and now you have to explain why he doesn't have a title and you haven't mentioned it? I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, I mean, it just seemed odd that they're not mentioning it at all. And it's a major storyline. He's either going to show up with an extra belt or he's going to show up without his belt. And you have to explain it.
Sure, but it's not like this is 1987 and, you know, we don't know. Like, it's all, each company is promoting this all over social media. Like, that's how people get their information. It's not like this is flying under the radar.
No, and I'm with you.
I don't know. I actually kind of feel like it is. I feel like it should be important enough that you're, the champion of your program is going somewhere else that you mention it on Dynamite. And the other thing that Ann just brought up, and this is, I think, what actually kind of grinds my gears about it a little bit more, is that kind of tips what the booking's going to be. And that's kind of a bummer because it's like we basically feel like we know what's going to happen, but it's like by not even really mentioning it on your program, you were like, well, if this guy was going to lose it, like they would at least mention it. On the show, like, it does kind of feel like, well, that confirms what I was already thinking. So, I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens this Sunday. I think we're all interested in seeing what happens because this is a pretty big one. And also, on a side note, they did announce that Mauro Ranallo is returning and he will be calling the main event. I know Matt is psyched.
No. Not at all. And I'm going to call it now. Swerve, bro. They make it a three-way a la Jericho Benoit angle at WrestleMania. Moose pins Swan. Kenny Omega pins whoever. So you have a new Impact World Champion, and Kenny can go back to AEW with his belt. Called it right now. Just called it. Suck.
But if they were to make it a triple threat and Moose were to pin Swan, match over. Kenny just keeps his belt.
No. You do it. First fall is for the Impact title. Second fall is for the AEW title, like they did at WrestleMania 17.
Oh, I think that's asking way too much.
I'm just saying.
I'm a little suspicious because I feel like them going out of their way to say there's going to be a definitive outcome means there's going to be shenanigans.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a three-way dance, and Moose is going to walk out your Impact World Champion. Kenny's going to go back to old Wednesday night, and you'll never hear of this partnership again because they'll get a couple pay-per-view buys for Rebellion. Kota Ibushi won't show up, and we'll all be stuck with our thumbs in our bums.
Well, we'll find out Sunday night, and we will likely have the TV turned down, right, Matt? You're not going to listen to more of an I'll call that match.
I'll listen. He's too much. You know, the fact that he's not calling the whole pay-per-view, it might be something I can stomach. But if he was doing the whole show and every match was full of Mamma Mias and him fucking screaming like an asshole at like an arm drag, I can't.
I'm intrigued to see what happens when the WWE ecosystem isn't in his ear. Like, if it's not, if like he's just emphatic, but like more organically that way, and it's not like you can say these things and you can't say these things, and oh, people like it when you say Mamma Mia, so say that 17 times a day. Like, I wonder if it'll be something that I like to lean into more often. Like, without the Fed.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, but he does enough play-by-play and stuff for other combat sports, you know, that, you know, his shtick is kind of his shtick no matter where he is with anybody in his ear. You know, like, I've seen him call boxing or UFC, or not UFC, but, you know, MMA stuff, and it's the same fucking thing. And I'm with Matt. There are moments where it's like, it's a jab and he's losing his mind. And it's like, he's setting it up, dude. He's not going to knock him out with a jab, but it'll be interesting. We'll see how it goes down. This is probably going to be one of the bigger impact moments of the year. So we'll see how it all shakes out Sunday night at Rebellion on pay-per-view. Anybody want to talk about Elevation and Dark?
I did not get a chance to watch either of them. I did see the Bowens thing with Paul White, and I thought that was really good. That was a fun watch. I found a clip of that. And I heard Danny Limelight had a really nice match, and that kid from DDT was in the six man with Nakazawa and Omega. Was that it?
The kid from DDT?
Yeah, the Japanese kid. What's his name?
Oh, yes. Kansuke Takeshita.
Yes, he's supposed to be really, really good, so I want to check that out. And I heard nothing about Dark.
Yeah, I did get a chance to watch both of these shows. The interview with Bowens and Caster and Paul White was pretty awesome. You know, Bowens did mention about him being, you know, an out wrestler and, you know, being part of the LGBTQ community. So it was brought up and it was pretty awesome. You know, but it was great because they kind of stayed in character, right? Like that's the fun part of this, because the whole time they were still being cocky and, you know, Paul White was kind of like trying to wrap the interview and they're like, but we have so much more that we want to talk about. Like, because they're just cocky assholes. So it was pretty fun. I will say that the main event was a lot of fun on Elevation. So it was the Sydal brothers and Danny Limelight versus Kenny Omega, Nakazawa, and Takeshita. So that was a good one. You know, we saw Thunder Rosa on Elevation. She looked good. We saw Abaddon. She was great. You know, there were a couple squashes in there where I was almost like, why did we even need to do this? But Elevation was pretty solid, you know, and they did cut the time down. I think it was like less than an hour and a half, you know, an hour and 20 something minutes. So it was pretty easily, you know, digestible. And then Dark actually was kind of the same thing. They cut it down a little bit, so it was actually pretty easy to watch. But Dark, believe it or not, had a few more matches that were like squashes where I was just like, what is the, like, what's the point? Like, there was the final match on Dark was Pac versus Dean Alexander, and that match started with like 2 minutes left to go in the YouTube video, and it was literally like 10 seconds. Like,
things, bro.
It just, things like that, and Pac's not in the rankings, so it, you know, it didn't have anything to do with that. I'm just like, I just don't understand what the point of that is. I just don't know. I don't know. I find that weird.
It gives indie guys a payday. I'll give them that. That's for sure. But I liked, I went back to check out a couple of the promos that were really good. I loved the one that Darby cut on Jungle Boy, and our boy Ryan Schlong in the Discord helped with some notes for this too, and that was one of the things that he had bolded. This felt like, this is Darby as a champion, as a face, but still Darby Allin, like, really digging into like expressing the artistic side of what he does, but and his character, while also being very grounded in the feud in a really beautiful way. Really, really, really liked that. We saw Starks cut a promo on Hangman, which was awesome. The more Ricky Starks, the better, and we can talk about that in a little bit because that made me really excited to see today. But just some good stuff. We finally got, like, now of all times, we got also some really great, a good promo, a good backstory from Sheeta. I think that was just on AEW social media, not on Dark and Elevation. But I was like, it's nice to see some of their video content springing back to life. I also checked out the Bowens thing. Very, very cool to see. I can't imagine being gay and black in today's ecosystem as a wrestler. He represents a lot of different communities. So that was just awesome to see. And he's known the Monday Night Crew for years and years. So always a Bowens mark in a lot of different ways. But yeah, and I'm glad that they trimmed these down to like an hour and a half each. That seems like a much more digestible thing. But I gotta be honest, like I'm watching NXT on Tuesday, so by the time we get to this, I don't know if I'll ever be seeing Dark, the non-Elevation brand again. Because I really enjoy that product too. But yeah, I think that's been a common complaint, is like, dude, we can't take in an extra like 4.5 hours of wrestling. So good to see that they're staying in tune and that they're starting, it seems like every week, differentiating more and more between what Elevation is and what Dark is. Like, Elevation is moving storylines around, Dark not so much.
I had saw somewhere that they were just using this pandemic to build their library, because they are going to do a streaming service at some point. You have to realize that once they get back to going on the road and they are taping, you know, remember when Dark started, it was only like 45 minutes to an hour, because that stuff is taped before the show. You know, they can't, you can't show up for a Dynamite at 7 o'clock, do an hour for Elevation, 2 hour Dynamite, and then fucking have people sit through 2 hours AEW Dark for next week, you know? So they're going to have to start trimming it down. And I think an hour is the perfect amount of time. To your point, Kate, like, yeah, it's great. All these indie guys are getting a look. They're getting a payday. It's great during the pandemic. And you can kind of figure out, like, oh, you know, who it, like we saw them do with Allen Angels and Will Hobbs and, you know, Cesar Bononi. You know, we're kind of, they're figuring out who can fit into their plans going forward. But I think once they start traveling and doing the weekly shows, I think you're going to see both those shows cut down exponentially. And I think you'll see different crews on each show, because you're going to have to split the talent up, because you're not going to be able to record fucking 5 hours of TV in one night. People are, the crowd's going to fucking lose interest. It's just going to be a tough thing to do. So I think the days of these super long shows, Dark, Elevation, and Dark, are in the near future going to come, you know, hopefully come down to an hour, because I think that's the perfect amount of time for each of these shows. And that'll make it more easier for, like, for me, when you tell me Dark, Elevation is an hour and 50 minutes, you know, I love a good squash match. Look, when we started this podcast a year ago, you know, Dark was an hour because it was a lot. They were doing live tapings and it was a great watch. 2 hours of fucking squash matches is, yeah, it's a lot, you know, and then you go back to back, you throw another hour and a half in the mix and I'm almost at 4 hours. And all I've watched is, you know, the fucking best friends wrestle twice and beat up fucking, you know, Ryzen and some other fucking jobber. So I look forward to it going back to like an hour show. Then I'll probably tune in a little more.
You know what I look forward to? Listening to other shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
That's my cue, right?
There it is.
Good, because I need it. I want to get another drink, too.
There it is.
Well, we'll be back.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. When it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Don't listen alone.
That is the Shining Wizards Network. Check them out, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where you could hear this show and all those wonderful creatures of the evening.
Creatures of the evening.
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I feel off tonight, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why do you feel off? Creatures of the evening just made it sound like they were creatures, but also prostitutes.
I don't know, man. I just feel off tonight.
How you feel off?
It's okay. Nelly's driving.
I think it's
nuts.
Me.
Nelly, stop. Stop.
Matt, are you beating your cat?
No, but Trixie's using the litter box, and Nelly's gonna fucking pounce on her when she's done, which means there's gonna be litter and or cat shit all over the place. So I'm trying to prevent this right now. Stop. Get out of here. Nelly, you little monster. They're monsters. They're all monsters. That's all they do is be monsters. Don't get a cat.
Don't worry. Not going to happen.
They sleep. That's what they do all day. All day. Every time I come upstairs, they're sleeping. The minute I sit down in here, right? It's chaos. It's just like, oh, Matt's going to try and do a podcast? Let's run all over the place. I don't want to bring it back to the Monday night show, but if you ever listen to our Patreon watch-alongs, there's a Patreon watch-along that I'm doing where in the middle of it, Nelly jumps on me and gets shit on my hand. And I have to stop.
Well,
I tried to power through, and it took 6 seconds for me to go, nope, I got to stop this and do this all over again.
You're only going to get that content if you're a Shining Wizards Patreon. So we'll help you on the Monday night show, Matt. If you're not part of the Patreon, sign up. How do people sign up?
No. It's not about the Monday night show. Because you know what we give them on the Wednesday night shows? AEW rankings, Anthony.
That's right. We do talk about rankings. Kate still hasn't found a cause that she's willing to be part of or take up. So we get to talk about rankings. And actually, Matt, last week we had a pretty decent discussion around rankings and you weren't here for it. So you missed out.
Yeah, no, I listened back and did we ever find out if the house show counted towards the rankings?
No, there would be nowhere for us to find that information. We'd, I guess, have to reach out to AEW officials, and find that out. So, we haven't done that.
Sorry.
Let's talk about the rankings, guys. Let's go through
Let's
the
do
rankings.
It. You know who your champions are. Kenny and Darby. They're the stars. They sit out at the top. Who's below them? Who is squat? Cody's out. He's not in the top five. Thankfully, he's still alive. Number one is Hangman Page. He's getting drunk with his best friends in the Dark Order. That don't rhyme, but I don't care, because Mox is number two, and he's got no hair. Behind him is the luscious mane of the boy we call Jungle Boy. You can't rhyme boy with boy, but I don't care, because this is my song. After that, Powerhouse Hobbs, he's got giant schlong. I'm losing steam, but we're almost there. Number five, he don't care. His name is Pac. He's got crazy hair. He'll break your neck. He don't fucking care. That's your AEW men's top five, and I'm doing this to keep myself alive.
This is the most I've ever liked the rankings.
Good God.
That was amazing.
Do you want me to wrap the women's rankings?
Yes, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
The women's rankings, April 21, 2021. We're going to start off with Sheeta. She's lots of fun. She's 2-0. She don't wrestle that much. But if you can, get up in them guts. Number one is Tay Conte. She's challenging for the title tonight, they say. Number two, she's a DMD. Don't fuck with her. She'll rip out your teeth. Number three, she's Thunder Rosa. She makes Kate ugly cry. And she's going to kill Dave LaGreca May 1st. That don't rhyme, but I don't care. Nyla Beast. I ain't got nothing to say about Nyla Rose, because she's a beast. She'll have you over for Thanksgiving feast. Number five, she's the Red Velvet. You don't like it? Tough shit.
Oh, my God.
That was even worse than I thought. But you know what? I'm going to write raps every week, because I can look up the rankings during the day, and I can spit my bars at night.
We could play music underneath you. We could turn it into like a real official thing.
Yeah, let me do.
I'm not.
I feel like Ant should beatbox for
me. All right, let me try one more. Ready? No, don't beatbox. Don't fuck them up. Don't fuck up my rhyme. It's in my brain.
Oh yeah, I would be the thing fucking up the rhymes here.
Now it's time for the tag team rankings. Matt and Nick. They're the champions. Number one is SCU. If they lose, then they're through. Number two, a boy and his dinosaur. Jurassic Express, hear them roar. Number three, it's the Varsity Blondes. Long gold manes. Giant slongs. Number five, it's the Butcher and the Blade. Andy smashes you. Butcher complains. Number five, it's FTR. The Pinnacle. They're the stars.
Wow.
Not my best.
That was much better.
Not my best. Yeah, you like that, huh?
Better than women's. Not as good as the men. But it was, we'll take it.
This is my new thing, huh? I'm wrapping the rankings. Yep. This is Anthony gets the rankings, and Kate can stomach the rankings.
The rankings wrap.
That's right. Scranton,
what the Electric City.
You don't have to go through the rankings now, do you?
No. You okay. Just did it.
Yes. Oh, man, I get real, like, intricate. I could be like, people moving out, people moving up. What is in this delicious cup?
You can do whatever you want with it, pal. It's yours now.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to talk in rhyme the rest of the night.
Oh, my God.
Let's go talk about dynamite. Wednesday nights, there's a fight. Kate says no. Ant says yes. Sometimes I grab my chest.
You're making the rankings not special anymore because now you're just doing it the whole show.
Dang. All right, let's talk about Dynamite.
It was fun while it lasted, Matt, but let's get into Dynamite.
I'm going to work on it for next week. Look out, people.
All right, new segment coming episode 5. Matt wraps the rankings.
I'm so excited about rankings now.
The ranking
wraps.
I've
never been excited about them.
Oh, I'll wear a hat. I got some gold chains.
There you go. You're basically a Caster.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. Max Caster is maybe the greatest rapper of all time, according to Anthony Bowens.
Max Caster, Matt Bowman, rap battle.
We might as well be brothers.
Pretty much are.
Yeah, you look alike. I can see it.
Yeah. It's the cheekbones.
It is the cheekbones.
Definitely. It's not the body physique, I'll say that much.
Nah, I'm fucking Diesel. Oh,
yeah, he's got nothing on you.
And before we start, all right, Dynamite, all right, this little bitch down here, yeah, you, Kate, all right, she's trying to start shit with me and Marco Stunt. You know how I feel about that little midget, okay?
Yeah,
why are you stirring the pot? Why are you trying to make problems?
Because
you don't think I have enough enemies? Do I need to start more problems with other more people?
Well, now that you've found this super hard side of you, I feel like you can take on anybody. I feel like I really like Marco Stunt. So if you're going to shit on Marco Stunt, the world should know about it. And I don't think you have ever looked as cool as he did in that picture.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I can't afford a haircut and I look like a little 6-year-old running around at his father brought him to the football stadium.
He looks cool. You're jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous because I'm not fucking Marco Stunt. Are you fucking kidding me?
Jealous, you're not.
I take shits bigger than that kid, okay?
Well, that's just alarming.
For who?
I'm really everyone involved, but mostly you.
Nah, I feel great.
I don't know. You said you were feeling a little off before.
Off, yes. Like, with the three of us, because I think I missed last week and I fucked up the feng shui. But, like, my shit is good and it's big. Marco Stunt is tiny, so that's not... I don't have anything to worry about.
I'm going to see if I can find Marco Stunt's weight online.
Yeah. How about 6? He weighs 6 pounds. 6. Yeah.
That's still a very large shit.
No, it's not. Tell me.
He's 117 pounds.
Oh, God. That's okay. That's disgusting. He's 117 pounds. How can you take anything he does seriously?
Because he's sneaky. Because
he sucks. He sucks.
Like Dan Heston, he punch him in the groin.
No. You know what? Jurassic Express shouldn't even be the number 2 ranked tag team because they're fucking cheaters. Because this little fucking goblin, gremlin, shit monster is always sticking his nose in the business. He don't belong there. You're not in the tag team. All right? You're just a lackey. You're a third wheel. Hit the bricks, Marco Stunt. Nobody likes you or your fucking dirtbag brother. Get out of here.
Okay, I'm not going to bring Logan into this, but Marco, I love you. Stay forever.
Oh, Kate's got another boyfriend. Mark it down on the chalkboard. What's Kate have more? Does Kate have more podcasts or boyfriends?
Hold on, let me consult the list here.
Maybe I'll rank them and you can rap about it.
Oh yeah, do that. Give me. Do you want to listen to Pick a Vinyl? What's good with KG? Mark Order Podcast.
That's it. I only have those three.
That's it. Damn. Damn, son.
She's working on Fightful, so it'll be more soon.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm gonna sneak. Me and SRS are best friends now, so ooh. I'll probably.
SRS.
SRS.
You're taking a fucking Tony route with the fucking WPC shit, huh? We're getting rid of names. We're just going initials, huh?
Yep.
Well, it is WPC. That's who he is.
Yeah, because when I'm like, when on the radio, they're like, Smashing Pumpkins frontman WPC says the band's getting back together. No. Oh, what? He's got a business name and he's got an entertainment name?
Yeah, no, when he's Billy Corgan with the Pumpkins, but when he's running the business, he's WPC.
You know what? He can get out of here too, okay? With his fucking head that looks like you want to eat honey mustard off of it. Get out of here, you honey mustard head. Tired of your honey mustard head.
We cannot just let this go.
What?
No.
He's got a bald head. You just put a little honey mustard on it, and then you just give it a little licksy.
Ugh.
What? Ugh, you tell me you wouldn't lick honey mustard off of William Patrick Corbin's head? Just for the story?
On the side.
No. And it's not Corbin. It's Corgan.
Whatever. You still wouldn't lick honey mustard off his head. And that's a great story.
Whatever. You sound like me talking to my parents when I was a teenager.
Yeah, when you were talking to them on the phone before.
As if.
Kate, how many boyfriends are you going to have? Whatever, Mom. I'm going to fucking drink this root beer seltzer and go do a podcast. Another one. I hope you're happy. Checks in the mail. Click.
Checks in the mail. Click.
What a reasonable teenager I was to just be.
No, this was earlier today. Okay. You know they have.
Parents are wrestling journalists and all I do is podcast. It's fine.
You know they have root beer, Stewart's root beer seltzer?
I didn't. I think I would just fancy myself a root beer instead of a root beer seltzer.
Yeah, see, I didn't get it because I think I would be disappointed.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I'd give it a shot. I like seltzer.
Yeah, but root beer, like, you know, root beer's the shit. It's the only soda I want to drink.
Like root beer is really good. Would take away from the flavorful punch of a root beer.
Oh, you know what I would like to do? Take a root beer, like a 2 liter bottle, 2 liter bottle of root beer.
Ferguson's head.
I'd love to smack him right in his dumb fucking face and then pour the root beer in his hair so he has sticky long hair and he has to get a fucking haircut. You fucking Nancy. Cut your hair.
Shower.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah. Just shampoo. I'll take care of the root beer stickiness.
You don't need to put bubble gum in his hair. Man. The boy and the dinosaur, they don't know about shampoo, so what are they don't know?
I don't know. It looks like Jungle Boy uses mane and tail. That thing's lustrous.
Is that a shampoo and conditioner?
You don't know mane and tail is a shampoo, yes.
No, why would it?
For horses.
Yeah. What? First of all, why the fuck would I know what kind of shampoo a horse uses?
I don't know why Aunt does. I used to ride horses when I was a girl.
I do. Yeah, when you were a girl. Still, Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand, wow.
Sorry, Kate, what are you, jerking off horses? What is that?
I was fucking jerking off on your face.
A horse.
You're up here in my thing.
You were jerking off a horse on my face?
You know what? Sure. Just horse semen all over your face.
Nice. What is this? Mantail.com.
Mane and tail.
Oh, look at this. Wait, what is this? Everybody's Hair Care Online Store Shop. Mane tail. This is a thing for women, huh?
It's for anybody.
Well, there's only pictures of women. Oh, there's a fucking Quinn Hoff. is the original mane and tail race car driver. God, what a fucking douche. It's all women. Ebony. 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 Race car driver. White chick. This says men don't use it. This guy just drives his race car with it.
Hey, speaking of horses.
Oh.
Yes. Hangman Adam Page. Huh?
He let off tonight. Yeah,
he let off Dynamite against Ricky Starks. I'm fucking killing segues today. Into the commercial break. Pulling us back to Dynamite.
You know what's better? When you don't mention that it was a segue and you just go. It makes it seem like we're more professional.
Oh, yeah, I didn't telegraph that at all before that.
It was a great recovery, but you should have just let it go. You don't have to talk about it.
What had to get you out of, race car driver?
Well, don't send stupid websites to me in the middle of the show.
I did it, and did.
About shampoo that's for horses, but people use it too. Do centaurs use them? That's a centaur is a half man, half horse.
Hangman Adam Page uses it because look at that luscious hair. And he has horses. It all just adds up. And I gotta tell you, this was a fun way to kick off Dynamite tonight.
He didn't ride a horse to the ring tonight.
I've lost all control.
You're
I don't
lying
know.
To the. If there's a listener out there that didn't see Dynamite, they're gonna be like, "Oh man, I gotta watch Dynamite because Kate said Adam Page rode a horse out to the ring." Shocker, he didn't, and he doesn't use mane and whatever to wash his hair.
How do you know that?
Because he uses some kind of like grain alcohol. Look at him.
His hair doesn't look like it's not kept well. It doesn't look like he doesn't wash it.
He does wash it.
It looks
perfectly
fine.
With grain alcohol.
Oh my God.
Well,
this main entail
maybe
sponsored by them.
Maybe Marco Stunt uses mane and tail. And that's why his hair looks so great. All I know, Kate, is that I think we have to work on trying to get Marco Stunt on this show.
Oh, absolutely. Good luck with that.
Oh, I wish he had cameo. Oh, I wish he had cameo so bad.
He's going to when he gets released from AEW because they realize there's no reason for him to have a job there, and then he needs money. And everybody on the indies that's bigger than him is beat him up, then he's going to have a cameo, and you can spend your $5 to have Marco Stunt say, "Hey, my name is Marco Stunt, and this is for Matt of the Mark Order Podcast. I'll kick your ass."
I can't wait until Marco Stunt is in the rankings.
After you buy me a kid's meal.
Kids meals are a great value, first of all.
Give me some Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo. No tears.
He uses mane and tail. We just talked.
No, he does not. He is a baby. He doesn't use mane and tail. It's for.
You're a baby. You're a big baby. And I want to talk about Dynamite.
Why is Hook with Ricky Starks? Out of all the people you're going to send to the ring with Ricky Starks, why are you sending Hook out with him?
Team Taz.
That's right. Because it's Team Taz and Powerhouse Hobbs was already booked for the night. Taz has to sit up in commentary. Because why wouldn't he be in a commentary? And Brian Cage and Ricky Starks aren't getting along that great.
But that's even more of a reason to send Brian Cage out there.
No, you don't want him to get in the way of a win or a loss. Then it drives a wedge between them.
He's just more imposing than fucking Hook. Has Hook even wrestled yet? Have we seen a Hook match?
Listen, all I know is this. If I was walking down the street and I saw Hook coming at me, in that hoodie he wears, I would be like, man, this guy's dangerous. He looks like he could hook me.
He looks like one of those guys that hangs out in that parking lot at AEW.
Yeah, in the very dangerous parking lot at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. I don't know how anybody's ever going to go to another event at Daly's Place in the future, because if you see the riffraff that hangs out there and what goes down in the parking lot, it's not safe.
It's just not safe. No way.
No, that's for sure. But it didn't matter in the first match. There were no cars. There were no
horses.
Riffraff in the parking lot. There were no horses either. Our first match of the night was Hangman Adam Page versus Absolute Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks did get an inset promo talking about how he's going to get the win tonight and proved why he's called Absolute. So we get into the match. Listen, I've said over and over again, I want to see more Ricky Starks on television. And this match shows why we should get more Ricky Starks on television. I was saying in the Discord, you know, obviously looking at the card tonight, you could have kind of figured this might lead off the night. And what a great way to start, because these guys are the next ones up, right? Like, these are, this is the level of guys who are going to be the next, you know, champions leading this company. And to see them already, you know, great, just makes you feel really good about the future. And I also said it in the Discord, we've beat it like a dead horse that's been shampooed with mane and tail. Ricky Starks was such a great signing for them, just a steal. He is amazing. I thought this match had everything you could have asked for. It was really entertaining. A little bit of a shocker for me, the win, Hangman Adam Page with the submission on Ricky Starks. Starks actually tapped out. I thought the match was fun. And then post-match, Taz gets on the mic and calls out Hangman from the commentary table. He tells Hangman that he got lucky. He needs to watch his back, really watch his back. And that's, Matt, when Hook steps in, chop block from behind. And now they're putting the boots to Hangman. Hangman starts fighting off Ricky Starks and Hook. And then Brian Cage comes down. He puts a cigarette out on his back. But before he could get him up, the Dark Order comes in to make the save. So we get Hangman's best friends coming out there to help him out, make sure he didn't get destroyed. But Hangman stays strong, and he stays as a number one contender. So I guess, Kate, what did you think of the match and the post-match antics?
I really loved this as an opener. I was glad it opened the night. There was a power bomb in there that was ridiculous for two guys who are not that big of dudes. Like, really, really powerful stuff, and just like really, really sensible wrestling. Like, it all looked great, but none of it was a showcase of like, look what I can do athletically. Like, very, very sound, very well done. Love seeing Starks in the ring. Hangman is obviously a star. And as I was watching this, I just was thinking about how, like, these are future champions, no doubt about it in my mind. I don't even think they're stars of the future. I think they're stars right now that have a really bright future. Just really extremely well done. And as for Starks, I think that Starks has, because he submitted, I think, you know, has room to kind of, A, it makes Hangman look super strong, and B, I think he can say, like, why am I on a team where nobody on my team is helping me in a situation where he's like in a submission hold? That feels like a logical next step to the story. Not like an unhook, I'm with you guys there. He's just kind of there. We don't really know anything about him other than his relationship with Taz, which makes it seem very boring. But yeah, and I liked what happened after the match. I thought if things panned out differently later in the night, that we might be getting like a Dark Order is going to take over situation and Hangman might actually dethrone Dobby. But I liked it. I think this was really clean and solid storytelling from both sides, and both sides have stables involved, so everything made sense in a really great way. And I think Starks has some venom now that he can go back and complain about his team with.
After all the years of being programmed for a wrestling show to open with not wrestling, it is so refreshing to see a wrestling show open with wrestling right from the gate. This is a great match. Adam Page and Ricky Starks are the future of this company, or at least pillars of that structure. I think Kate and Anthony said it great. I don't think there's anything else I can add on to it. Excellent match. Both guys work great. Lots of spoons in the porch with the story. Obviously, we'll get into more Team Taz stuff later in the night with somebody else. But, yeah. Great stuff. The Dark Order, Adam Page, love connection, or or whatever that is, bromance. We're going to get to see that blossom every week. We get a little closer and closer, so I think that's fun. Hook would probably be number two on my people I hate list, with obviously Marco Stunt being one. Not hate's a strong word. Strong dislike for, because I just don't get him. And if I saw him in his hoodie, Anthony, I would punch him right in his dumb face. Hey, like that Hook.
Oh, man. Yeah, Kate, what do you have to say about that?
One minor complaint, and I mentioned it last week, it's like Taz always has to interrupt an interview or immediately be on the microphone when anything with his team happens all the time. I felt like maybe Starks could have grabbed the microphone in this situation. I just am getting a little burned out. And I get that it's Team Taz. It makes sense that he weighs in, but he's just always interrupting Tony Schiavone, or in this case, at the conclusion of the match, had something to say. But I felt like Starks is so good on the mic that maybe you didn't have to lean in that direction. But that was my only complaint.
I'll save my complaints for the next match.
Okay. Well, strong from Matt. They go to commercial and they come back and we're getting footage of the Elite arriving at the arena. They go into their own Elite trailer and they're just waiting at this point. So we get a promo as Penta El Zero is entering the ring, and he's with Alex Abrahantes for some reason, I guess being the mouthpiece for Penta now, and they inform the best friends they should never have reignited their feud with Death Triangle, and if Orange Cassidy gets in the way, he's going to bleed orange juice. And so our next match of the night is Penta versus Trent. Is the question mark? You have to pose it that way. You have to go up at the end. It's Penta versus Trent. Yeah, you know, as far as this match goes, I mean, it's nice to see Trent back in solo action. I didn't have any huge problems with the match. I think Penta can go. Trent can also go. They took some crazy spots. Cut into the end of the match, Penta wins by pinfall with the package pile driver after a couple of antics where Alex Abrahantes cheap shots Trent with the mic. So Matt, you said you have some grievances you'd like to air.
I do.
What would you think?
The match itself was good, except for the ending. I hated the ending. I don't understand Alex Abrahantes being part of this. Is he in Death Triangle? Is he a part of Death Triangle? I thought Pac was the spokesperson for Phoenix and Pentagon. I hated the ending of this match. Hate it. I don't like this Alex Abrahantes guy. I know this is something that stems from BTE, where he's like the Kool-Aid guy or whatever dumb shit, but I just don't like this. He's not a wrestler. He's not a manager. He was like an interviewer guy, and now you're going to make him into a character? Like, I hated this. I hated the ending. You ruined a really good match with this nonsense. And now, is he going to be in Death Triangle? What's his thing? Are we going to just split Death Triangle up again? Are they still a faction? What's the story here, people? Nelly, what's the story? Show your butthole to everybody.
Jesus, Nelly, you whore.
She missed you guys.
What I can say is this. What I find weird about Alex Abrahantes is, as far as I know, he's just does, like, sometimes he'll do the pre-show things on YouTube. Like, they'll do a pre-show and he'll kind of do that with Dasha. I believe they also do Spanish commentary. And that's really their thing. As far as BTE goes, Matt, he was the guy with the Kool-Aid, but it was for the Dark Order. Like, he was like a low-key Dark Order recruiter. So it's kind of weird. I'm with you that he's now kind of like in the pocket of Death Triangle. Although I don't think they're leading to like breaking up the Death Triangle. I just think for some reason they feel like they need to put somebody with Penta to be his mouthpiece because he doesn't speak perfect English. But it just came out of nowhere, which makes it weird. I don't know what they're doing. I'm with you, though. Didn't have a problem with the match. The ending was just kind of weird because we don't know what's going on with Alex Abrahantes. Kate, what did you think?
Okay, really liked the match. I think we got so used to Penta and Phoenix being together, watching them work separately is actually really fun because Penta's got some like legs under him. Like he's a really solid, hard-hitting dude. And I really enjoy watching him work. I don't have a problem with Abrahantes as much as I do the ambiguity. Like I actually thought he did pretty well in his role tonight. I just think the ambiguity around what that role is the thing that's bothering me. So I do agree with you on that. Is I thought he was actually pretty good, but I don't like the lack of clarity in the story at all. I don't know if Death Triangle is still a thing because Phoenix and Penta had friction where they were fighting each other, but then Death Triangle got back together, but now Phoenix and Pac are a tag team. Like, I don't like the ambiguity around that at all. I think you could have told a really cool story if he was translating for him and then realized while he was translating for him that he was buying into everything he was saying, but that did not happen. But that could have been a really cool angle if you had told that story and you gave it time to burn. I will say, if you're going to have a distracted finish, bringing Sue back into it is going to be the thing that is distracting. So I do appreciate that because Sue is the distracted finish of all distracted finishes. But I'm with you. It just seemed a little clumsy and unnecessary. And Abrahantes, I like the ambiguity. I couldn't agree with you guys more on just very muddy and unclear as to what's actually going on with that. And Trent, he's Ron Burgundy? Question mark at the end of his name?
Yeah, he's had it for a while. Somebody posed it in the Discord. I don't know when that like became a thing, but I feel like I've noticed that question mark for a long time now. So I don't know why he's Trent, but it's Trent. So we'll deal with it. Either way, I think we can all agree. Let's hopefully maybe at some point flesh out what's going on with Alex Abrahantes, and it might make sense. But we move on to Jim Ross interviewing the Pinnacle in a conference room somewhere in the facility. And MJF says Chris Jericho got one thing right last week. It's time for a new scarf. So Tully got him a gift, and Wardlow gives the scarf, and it's silk season, baby. So now he's changed to a silk scarf, and Wardlow actually speaks. They hadn't given him a chance to speak. Wardlow says that the quote unquote immortal Jericho promo from last week was almost perfect, but he stumbled his words a little when he got to Wardlow, because the minute Wardlow came out of Jericho's mouth, he knew that he was doing something's wrong. MJF goes on to put Chris over as the GOAT and an industry leader, but says that he stands in front of B's so that he looks like an A and wrestles A's so he doesn't look like a B, and it's smart. And that Jericho's been outsmarting guys for about 30 years, but he can't outsmart MJF because he's not great for 25. He's just great, period. And when Jericho was 25, he was curtain jerking on Worldwide. So he goes on to say how instead of sending Mike Tyson out to you know, sucker punch his Pinnacle guys, bring the Inner Circle out against the Pinnacle and beat them one-on-one. And if Jericho got one thing right in his promo, it's that MJF is a mark, but not a mark for him, a mark for Jericho's spot. And at Blood and Guts, he will take it, because when you're in the Pinnacle, you're always on top. So guys, we got a good promo out of Jericho last week live in the ring. We get the pre-tape from MJF and Wardlow. I actually didn't have a problem with this. They obviously have to build to Blood and Guts on May 5th. Kate, you're an MJF mark. What did you think of this promo spot? Do you think it worked?
I think it was great. I really liked a few things about it. The first thing that I really liked about it was him talking about what he called the quote unquote Jericho rub was something that was so great. He's very good at bringing real life complaints about someone into story and then just exacerbating them. And this idea that Jericho he said something about wrestling guys that people already want to see and named Orange Cassidy. Can't remember the others off the top of my head, but essentially leaning into that really heavily. I really, really liked that from him. My only two complaints were, and they're so small and silly to even bring up, but the scarf thing just went on really long. Like, the switching out the scarf he already had to the silk one, like, took a really long time just to put on a scarf, and it's pre-taped. And I think it would have been so much cooler if he had just taken off the one he had and threw it on the ground really hard and put on this new one. Like, do that, like, Ric Flair-y heel thing. Like, it just took a really long time to put a scarf on. And the other thing was, they keep calling themselves top guys. They should have just named the Pinnacle top guys. Like, I felt like a lot of people thought that was going to be their name, and they keep talking about how they're top guys. So I'm like, you should have just named the damn stable that. But I thought this was really, really strong. He really shines in some of these backstage segments too, I think, more than in ring promos, which we've seen some really good ones out of him. But these ones where he has a little bit more time to burn and probably a couple of takes at, he really, really finds what he's looking for with MJF. So I thought this was great. I thought it was the perfect counter to everything that Jericho did the previous week. And I think it's doing its job of getting you bought in on Blood and Guts. Matt loves it. He's over there yawning.
I'm tired. Watch this promo and just punch out of that, like, what's next now in your world of you need everything now and you don't have time to let things simmer. As a wrestling fan, watch this and understand that what you're watching is MJF perfect an art form that we rarely get to see. He is so fucking good on the microphone, and it's like once in a lifetime, like Roddy Piper, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair promos. Like, he is fucking dialed in, this kid, and this was awesome. Awesome stuff. I love the group. I love that he's, you know, we talked about it ad nauseum. The Inner Circle stuff was, like, just dragging out for fucking ever. Like, now that it's splintered and he is gone and he started his own group, like, this is fantastic. This promo was great. I cannot fucking wait for Blood and Guts. If you guys see that fucking poster anywhere, you gotta let me know, because I gotta snag that shit. I need that in my wrestling room here. The poster's sick. It's awesome. It's such a throwback to the old War Games. Like, I love it. I gotta have it. And I'm super pumped for this. This is gonna be a great story. Like, oh, sign me up. I'm in. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it was a good promo. I think we're all on the same page. I'm not going to continue on about it. We're just going to move on with the show. We got back from a commercial into the video package, hyping up the female title, or the women's, excuse me, the women's title match. So they play the video package that Kate alluded to before, where it was Sheeta talking about she's the longest reigning champion, and she's held the title because she's probably defended it so much, right? Yeah. So, and then Tay Conti's talking about it's her time, and, you know, she's gonna take that title and blah, blah, blah. It was a well-done package, and I want to stop there because, Kate, you know, you were saying how we wish we had stuff like this kind of hyping up Sheeta all along. I personally feel like it's obviously too little too late, because I already find her kind of boring. But do you feel like this is an establishment of a character for Sheeta? Only because it's still not really a character. She's just still Sheeta. Like, we're not seeing anything different except maybe her working out on the beach.
No, I mean, what I really liked about it was her saying that she has been their longest reigning champ and she still hasn't been in an arena full of people. Like, I thought that was actually something that's really nice and, like, makes you think that maybe she gives a shit about her own title, like that she wants to be a champion in front of people. I thought was a really good move. The biggest thing is, I thought this whole time she wasn't doing promos because I thought her English was not, like, in a place where she could deliver promos. She fucking could have. That's what we learned. She could have this whole time been actually cutting promos. I thought the video package maybe didn't give her, like, a different character or an established one, but it, like, at least gave you, like, a clear vision, I think, of her identity as a face a little bit. There's still, like, not layers really there. And I agree that it's way too little, way too late, but, like, it at least gave you something to invest in with her. It made you think that she cares about this. But it's just, I mean, we've talked about it at length, and I don't want to be too negative because I thought this match was actually really great. And I think they are maybe finding their own division finally. But like the things you could have done during her championship reign in this vein, having a Japanese stable, letting her cut promos, the stuff she did with Abaddon, I thought was actually really fun. Like it just made me so like retroactively frustrated, but it was nice to have an identity to associate with the longest reigning champion in AEW. It's ridiculous. So I think it was good to have something to sink your teeth into, but I agree with you. It's not nearly comprehensive enough, and it's way too late. Like the ship is so far sailed.
Well, it was a good, I'll say this. It was a good, well-produced video package. And I agree with you, Kate. It does show us that Sheeta could have been doing this the whole time. Maybe not even live in front of a camera on TV. If that gives her, you know, gives any issues with her maybe finding her words quickly or pronouncing things correctly, pre-taping them obviously is a way to protect that. So they could have been doing it the whole time. So I agree with you there. I just think I saw a lot of people being like, this is the character we've been looking for. And it's like, to me, it's like, I don't see anything different. It's just Sheeta.
Well, I think you go from just seeing her at fucking ringside during like a throwaway women's match that nobody cares about, and here's your champion, and she's just there in her fucking white suit, and now this gives, there's a little more depth to it. It's like we talk about when I talk about Ring of Honor when we interview these guys, those little, like, they could, AEW, not Sheeta, AEW could have been doing this for Sheeta during her whole title reign, and it would have given her character more depth, and you would have felt more for her, good or bad. And that's the thing, like, sure. I talk about Ring of Honor, like, every show, they give you a video package of who's going to wrestle, and they have a story, or it feeds into, and it's the simplest thing. It doesn't always have to be, like, Swerve Bros and these, like, crazy, like, I'm with Kate, I love the Abaddon Sheeta thing, and, like, there's an interview with Sheeta, and then you, like, pause it and zoom in, and fucking Abaddon's looking through a hole in the wall, like, that's great, but it doesn't have to be, like, fucking Where's Waldo all the time, and all this, like, convoluted bullshit. It just can be very simple, cut and dry. This is Sheeta, she's your champion, she has heart, this, that, and it gives more to her character than just, oh, Sheeta's at ringside for this genocide Thunder Rosa match that has zero to do with her and zero to do with the outcome of this match. But she's there in her fucking white fucking pants suit.
But don't you think even just, like, let's say we didn't get these video packages, right? Couldn't they at the very least just put her in the ring more than they had?
Absolutely. I mean,
she's had, up until this point, two title defenses on the year. We're past first quarter 2021, and she had two singles matches. It just, to me, that's the part that doesn't make sense. Your champion has two singles matches, and I get that you're trying to get a lot of women on TV and you're putting them in tag matches and stuff like that, but, like, come on, your champ has to appear more than twice in singles competition in the first 4 months of the year. That just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, to be fair, how many times has Kenny defended his title on AEW TV?
But Kenny Omega gets the chance to be on TV more than the women do. So if you're looking at a percentage split, like 80% of the television, 85% of the television is given to the male wrestlers, Kenny has a higher percentage of showing up in that 85% of the time than Sheeta does in her 15. So you have to give us something with Sheeta in that small percentage of time. Yes, Kate, I'm sorry.
No, all good. Just a couple of things. One thing I will say is, but actually most of it wasn't even on TV. So I was going to say, we did have like a full tournament also in that time for that. Now I'll talk about how meaningless the tournament was just a little bit later in the show. But the other thing I'll say is the difference with like a Kenny situation, or we've only seen Darby defend it, what now, like four times too or whatever. Like, the difference to me in those is like, there's still been a very elaborate stories with both of those. So even if it's not like defending it necessarily in the ring, it's like, it's just felt like there was no plan with Sheeta and this women's division at all, which they're now, it seems like they have a plan. Like, it seems like they're turning corners. So I don't want to like harp on it, but like, yeah, I mean, it is like a little handcuffing because it's like, well, now they're finally doing the right things. And we're like, well, where the fuck has this been the whole time? Like, to me, it didn't like do a lot for Sheeta moving forward, but it did make her feel like a champion, at least, version of herself. So yeah, I mean, it's tricky because like they have a lot of trust to win back in this division. Like, it's very hard to see them like making these positive stories and all these steps forward and not be like, well, where the fuck has this been the entire time? So it's 6 1/2 dozen the other, I guess, in that way.
Do you think the original plan is the story that they're giving us now? And when Britt hurt herself, they kind of just said, yeah, we'll just keep it on Sheeta, not knowing that, you know, Britt pulled like a Stone Cold. And when she was laid up in the fucking, in the wheelchair, like, she became overly popular with the you know, short 1-2 minute skit she was doing on TV with Reba. And they kind of, you know, as Kate said, handcuffed themselves to Sheeta being the champion because they really didn't have, like, there wasn't an out after Britt got hurt. So I think maybe they just, I mean, it's not the right, it doesn't make it right what they've done. But, you know, I mean, I think we were all in agreement saying, like, the last couple weeks, the women's division has been the best we've seen, you know, since it started.
I would agree with you in that, and that Britt got injured. You didn't know what you had in Tay Conti yet, certainly. You know, Thunder Rosa seemed like the obvious thing, I think, since she came in, but who knows, because she's technically contracted somewhere else. Statlander was hurt. Nyla, they tried, and that wasn't great. So I agree with you that, like, it hasn't felt like the right move. But I don't know who else you give it to it, but you know, a lot of it had nothing to do with maybe Sheeta herself as much as it did with like what happened around it. Like, so much of this was the lack of storytelling, but I hear you. Like, the other top two people you'd probably give it to would be Britt and Chris Statt, and they were both, I mean, shelved for months, like not small injuries, months.
You got to unmute yourself, Ant.
Sorry, I actually thought I did unmute myself. No, I was going to say, whether this was the plan or not, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that they have been taking strides, huge strides, to, you know, build up this division, and it's been better. It's definitely been better. Now, where I have an issue with some of kind of what's going on is the fact that, and we'll get to the match now, because this is kind of where I have a problem. So the match was good. Again, I kind of find Sheeta a little boring. She sometimes slows things down. They slow things down in matches with her. There's a lot of holds and, you know, rest moments and stuff like that, which is totally fine. But after getting the past 2 weeks of marquee female matches where it hasn't really been like that, it's been go, go, go from the bell. It sometimes kind of pulled me out of it, but the match was good. The problem I have is, you know, cutting to the finish, Sheeta wins by pinfall with the rolling knee to keep the women's title. Okay. So we've been saying, they have to get this fucking belt off Sheeta. Now, we'll talk about post-match after we talk about the match, but my issue is also with the fact of what they're doing with some of these women. And we saw it with Abaddon, and I feel like we're seeing it now with Tay Conti. Like, Abaddon has this really short build and feud with Sheeta. She loses, and now she's gone. Tay Conti, they've really pushed her up. She has this match with Shida, a good match. She loses. My fear is that now fucking Tay Conti is off. She's fucking out. You know, it just seems like a waste to build up some of these females to go against Shida. They lose, and then they're off your screen. And again, I know it's sort of like a percentage of time issue, right? They don't have that amount of time on weekly television. Obviously, we can see on Dark and Dark Elevation that, like, you know, Britt's wrestling, Thunder Rosa's wrestling, Tay Conti's wrestling. So there are those opportunities, but they're not on main TV. So my fear is that in this situation, we're going to lose Tay Conti here for a bit, because obviously, and you know, like I said, we'll talk about the post-match thing here and what we can see coming after we talk about the match a little bit. But that's my only nitpick here, is what they've done with the people who have gone against Shida for this title in the two times prior to this. They're fucking gone as soon as they lose to her. So it just seems almost like a waste to build up these women. They have this match, they lose, and then you yank them. They're completely gone and forgotten about.
Well, I think I don't want to hurt your feelings here, Anthony. I don't think Abaddon was very good to begin with in the ring.
No.
Character-wise, yes. But I think, you know, it's a sink or swim thing. She got put in that situation with Shida, and I don't think she performed that great. So I think it was time to go back to the drawing board with her. I think Tay Conti is a completely different story. She looked great against Nyla Rose in the tournament. She looked great against Nyla Rose on TV a couple weeks ago. Like, she's got the Dark Order behind her. There's the thing with Anna Jay. Like, there's more meat on the bone. Abaddon was like a creepy Undertaker, Sue Young type character. But when it came down to getting there and, like, actually wrestling Shida, like, just wrestling her, the storytelling, the weird shit with the blood coming out of her mouth, puking out her butthole, whatever other weird shit she's doing, was great. But when she got in the ring, I don't think she was there. I think Tay Conti is a different story. I understand your worry and hesitation as to, you know, where's Tay Conti going to land now? Is she going to be hanging out with the Gun Club? Nah. She's with the Dark Order. I think she's shown Tony Khan and company that it was worth taking a flyer on her, because, you know, she got through the NXT cracks. Yes, she still can, you know, do some work and get a little better, but I think they found a star in her. You know, give her a couple more, you know, another year or so working with Dustin and getting on TV and stuff, finding that time for her. I think they will, and I think she'll be head and shoulders above a lot of women in this division. Excuse me as I vomit in my mouth. Kate's back from peeing, just in case you didn't know, Ant.
No. I just really quickly, I just want to say, it's not my comment about Abaddon was not about her level of expertise. It's simply the decision that they made to push these people up and then have the match and then they're gone. The same thing kind of happened with Ryu Mizunami, right? She won the tournament, had her match. Where the fuck has she been? I mean, she's been on Dark and Elevation.
Yeah.
But again, like, they just build them up and then they throw them away. So that was my real point. Was not necessarily about the skill level. So I just wanted to be clear about that. I agree with you. I think Tay Conti is a different skill level than Abaddon, maybe even Ryu Mizunami. But it's just the track record doesn't make me feel good about what can come next for Tay Conti. So with that, Kate, thoughts on the match and kind of everything else we've just been talking about?
I mean, I'll just say again, I don't know how we're expected to look at someone as hideous as Tay Conti from week to week, but God, she's just one of those women that you're just like, that's unfair. There's nothing I can do to my face to make myself that pretty. There's a few things. One is, as you were saying what you were saying about Shida, which is a very valid point, I was like, oh God, it's John Cena syndrome. I was like, this is John Cena syndrome. But the thing that makes me a little optimistic about this is I think she is going to drop to Britt Baker at the next pay-per-view. I think that's where this is heading, maybe even before that. And then I think you get to start the whole line over. I don't think we see Sheeta anywhere near a title picture for a while. So we burned through all these feuds with Sheeta, but not with Britt. And I think that's where that's going to go. So that makes me optimistic, is that maybe you didn't build these stars up for nothing, because they could be right back in it with a whole new champion, and one that definitely knows how to put them over whilst on the mic, which I think is a very good thing. Did we talk about the match while I was in the bathroom itself, or no?
Kind of. A little?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, okay. But that's what we're looking for.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. So there were a few spots that I really liked. I gotta say, one thing that I really appreciated about this match was I thought there was a possibility that Tay Conti might win. And I can't remember the last time we had a women's match that made me excited and curious about what the outcome was going to be, because we properly built a star in the process. So that was exciting to have a properly built star. But Tay just has improved so much week after week. My guess is a lot of that has to do with Serena Deeb, because I feel like right around the time she came in was when that turnaround started happening. But the way she throws punches, the pump kicks, her judo throws are awesome. It was very hard hitting. The brainbuster spot really scared me, because it looked like she couldn't get Tay over. The only booking thing that kind of perplexes me is everybody kicks out of the Falcon Arrow. Like, it's not a finisher of everybody. Like, I know they've done this with the Crossroads where he has to hit it two or three times or whatever, but like, I don't know how I'm supposed to buy this move as a finisher when everybody kicks out of it all the time. It's just not intimidating at all in that way. But I thought this was a great match. I was a little bummed that the booking went the way that it did until the post-match antics. But again, this is like the fifth week or so that we've seen a lot of really, really strong women's wrestling on my television. And to your point, Ant, the TV timeshare situation is rough when it's women's wrestling, because last week we saw two women's matches and it felt like, cool, we have momentum going with multiple storylines. But this is why wrestling has multiple titles for divisions, like, because that way if you fall out of one title picture, you can fall into another. It doesn't have to be as widespread maybe as New Japan or WWE, but that is rough when you get like, I don't know, 8 to 12 minutes a night and you build people up and they have nowhere else to go. Like, that does make it tricky. But we do have alternate programming, and maybe there will be multiple storylines going. Give Britt the belt, have her and Jade have a collision of egos that we have never seen before. I think it would be so much fun. So didn't like love the outcome, thought there was some very, very strong wrestling in it. It was nice to actually see Sheeta in the ring. And it's nice to not dread this spot of the night every week now. Like, I feel like a division is really starting to come along. The pieces are getting there and the booking is starting to make more sense. We're building up feuds, we're building up characters. Like, it's actually cohesive and makes sense. So that was good.
I know you said you didn't like the outcome, Kate, but I think they're strong. I think they're trying to do the right thing with the women's division, and they have a very strong heel in Britt. So I think it only makes sense that she's the one that takes it off of Sheeta. And then to your point before, like, that sets up a whole new line of, you know, Britt versus Tay. We can go Britt and Big Swole again. You can bring Thunder Rosa back into the mix. You know, there's a, you can, if Sheeta wants a rematch, I guess, I don't know. I keep looking at this dumb Blossom figure. Like, at some point she's going to, I know she's going to wind up back there, because, like, you know, they're trying to think outside the box and bring in the Japanese women. I don't want it. I want Britt to be the champion, and I want to see her mow down Red Velvet and, you know, to rip the umbilical cord out of Brandy, you know, get all crazy. I want her to get real wild. She's a doctor. She can do that. She knows what she's doing.
Sure. I did want to make that. I did mean to make that point that tonight really did show me just how completely pointless that whole tournament was. Like, I'm trying not to be negative on it, because we've seen so much improvement, but I'm like, man, like, there has not been a single story that came out of that tournament, and Ryo Mizunami is, like, nowhere to be found. Like, if it was to get Joshi Wrestling on my TV, that didn't even happen because it was on YouTube. Like, what a pointless tournament that ended up being. And I was so optimistic it was going to reset it. It kind of did, but not in the way that I thought it was going to. So that ran across my mind today.
So post-match, you know, as we've kind of been alluding, it's got to be Britt. Britt Baker does come out to the stage. They put up on the screen, she calls up the rankings and basically just throws herself up as the number one contender. Now with Tay Conti losing, she should slide into the number one spot. My only problem with that is it looks to me so bad that your champion's up there at 3-0 compared to everybody else's record. It just looked bad to me, but clearly, so Britt has called her shot, and it looks like that is going to be the next title match that we get, and it has to be at a pay-per-view, right? They're not going to spoil that on a Wednesday night, unless it's a special Wednesday night show that is coming up that we're unaware of. But this clearly is the way we want it to go, right? Doesn't matter, I think, who gets the belt off Shida. We want it to be Britt at this point. It's going to have to be Britt, right? Like, that's what we need. Kate, is that good for you?
Oh, yeah. And I feel like the match she had with Thunder Rosa, like, if that's not earning your stripes, I don't know what the fuck is. But unless Matt Bowman's rapping about him, like, what is going on with the rankings? So this does make you a number one contender now? It only does in the women's division? What the fuck are the rankings? Like, the only thing I hate more than them not being used is them being half used. I know I've mentioned it, but it drives me crazy when you throw this graphic up and you say, this makes me the number one contender, and nobody has stipulated that in any other division on commentary. It makes absolutely no fucking sense. You can say, I deserve to be number one contender. The lack of clarity, it's why I need Matt to rap about them, because it just drives me crazy otherwise.
Do you think, just going to throw this out there, AEW seems to be kind of, they kind of know where they fucked up, where they dropped the ball. Do you think this is Britt just being a heel and just making, like, being like, the rankings are stupid, I'm now the number one contender?
Or them trying to legitimize the rankings now in the best way possible. I mean, they've consistently mentioned the fact that Adam Page is the number one contender. Ricky Starks was saying, I deserve to be the number one contender. You know, like, so I feel like they're being way more vocal about it lately. But there is that cloudiness around, like, okay, if you're the number one contender, when does that mean you kind of get your shot, right? Because it doesn't, that's the cloudiness that I think there are a lot of questions around, because Tay Conti, number one contender, right? She got her title shot tonight on a Wednesday. Hangman Adam Page is the number one contender. He will probably get his title shot on a pay-per-view. Like, does it mean you get a pay-per-view title shot? Does it mean you get a title shot at all? You know, like, I think that's where the cloudiness is. I think just getting back to Britt Baker, while it is heelish for her to do Matt, I think it's maybe them trying to legitimize the rankings.
I was in on the rankings when it started. At this point, I don't even pay fucking attention to them. And I'm kind of with Kate. I'm kind of like, whatever. Like, you see the way they did the rankings, and then you look at the way Ring of Honor does their ranking system. It's like Ring of Honor took the ranking system idea that AEW had, and they said, let's make this
good,
feasible, and explain it to the fans so they understand it's based off of wins and losses. And once you're in the top three, that means you can challenge for the title. You don't have to be the number one guy.
Do you wrap the ROH rankings on the Monday night show?
You know what? I don't. I wish we talked more Ring of Honor on the Monday night show.
Okay. But I was just
the wrapping gimmick is here. This is the Wednesday night show. All right. Let's not. We don't have to. I understand you love to pay homage to the Monday night show. It's not necessary here on Wednesday nights. We are the Mark Order podcast, okay?
I just want to know if Matt Bowman is rapping anywhere else.
Hey, hey, with the fucking full name, Kate? Jesus Christ.
It's on your Twitter handle.
I'd never use that Twitter. Come on now. The people that listen to this might not be following me on Twitter. Easy with the fucking full. Next thing you're going to be giving out codes to shit that is exclusive to only Patreon people. Pump the brakes.
I would never do that.
Well, it's interesting to see where the women are going.
That's just Matt's rap name, by the way, not his shoot name.
It's all right, Kate. I tag him literally every week in the Twitter promo for the show.
If you just stopped by saying you tag me every week.
Well, we don't have to tell the world our business, Matt.
Sailor.
So after the Britt Baker post-match, we do get a video package from Miro, and he's calling out Kip Sabian.
Oh!
Saying he needs vindication. He doesn't care who you are. If you have a title, you have a problem. And AEW can put Miro through all the hoops and diversions they like, but he's not going to be kept from gold. And his only question is what title to go after first. So, interesting thing here for me was that he's actually still calling out Kip Sabian. So, clearly there's an issue that we're going to have resolution on. But I think this is still going in the direction where we all wanted it to go, right? Kind of monster Miro on his own. The only problem is we need to see Miro on television.
Sure, but you can't look. AEW is good. They have so much great talent that they're in a predicament where they can't find time for everybody. You know, like we're at the point where they took Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page and made them a tag team because you just to get it. I mean, I think it was just done to get them on fucking TV. To be perfectly honest with you.
Sure.
They're allies. Sure. Not a tag team. Very big.
Whatever. Difference. Whatever. All right. Fucking British Bulldog and Lex Luger were the Allied Express. All right. They were still tag teaming.
Okay, but they weren't like in a tag team match.
You know what? But it was in their name, so they could have talked their way out of it. We're a tag team called the Allied Express, but we're allies, eh? What is going on here, Lex Luger? Don't kill Miss Elizabeth. What are you doing? Knock it off. Oh no.
Oh my God. Anybody have anything about Miro they want to talk about? I mean, my point wasn't get him on TV. It was just he's been talking about it now for 2 weeks. We need to see something somewhere on any of their platforms, out of Miro at this point.
I wish he had taken a page out of Kate's book and used like a cool video game pun. Like, Kip, I'm going to punch you out.
I would love that.
I mean, something, what about as simple as if you have a title, it's game over.
There we go.
There it is. There it is. I liked this from him. It was short and sweet. I said that a couple weeks ago. I said it about Eddie Kingston a few times. Say what you got to say and get the fuck out of there. This was a really good example of that. It was quick. I think this is the Miro we've all been waiting for. I think this is going to be great. I think he's going to be climbing up those rankings any moment.
He's going to go.
He's going to be ranked number 4.
So after the Miro promo, we get Tony Schiavone in the ring to interview the Inner Circle. Jericho gets on the mic and talks up all the violence and brutality that Blood and Guts is going to bring in. He promises a trail of blood and tears that goes to the front door of the Pinnacle. And that the trail started when Mike Tyson knocked Cash Wheeler's teeth down his throat. Hager throws straws around and says it's a gift for the Pinnacle so they can suck the meat down later with the through a straw. Santana calls out FTR for ducking him, and Santana while they had a crew, and that's a bitch move. Jericho said he wrote a show tune about his jerk off friend Max. He sang it before telling us that he washed his ass, that's a quote, with the new scarf that Tully Blanchard gave MJF. So next week Face to face, the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle will have an old fashioned parlay. He's not going to wait till next week to spill the battle plan. He's going to beat the living hell out of MJF at Blood and Guts. And that's it. They flip the bird and we go to break. Matthew, raising your hand.
I have a question. Yes. I'm a degenerate, so the only parlay I know is when I put a bet on more than one team.
Well, okay. He just find it. He just said it in the promo that it was when two didn't he? Do you have it written down there that it's like when two basically militaries come together? But then he said it in the ring. There were a few promo for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he threw something like that out there. I didn't get the whole thing, but it's basically a meeting, Matt. It's a pirate code. You know, it means when two sides meet.
I don't want to see this.
This promo?
No, I don't want to see them have a face-to-face stare down next week, a week away from Blood and Guts. Don't let them touch. Let them keep doing whatever they're doing, because this is going to end in a brawl next week, and it's going to take away from the magic of Blood and Guts.
That's fair.
I don't want a parlay. Who talks like a pirate?
No, Matt, I was just throwing that out. That was something from The Office when they called a parlay. And somebody's like, what? What's that? He's like, it's pirate code.
I don't like you, Anthony, this late at night.
Okay. Well, clearly, I don't
appreciate your ruse.
You don't. Kevin doesn't. Kate probably hates me. So
I never said I hated you. I just said I didn't like you this late at night with your clever tricks to confuse me with your ruse.
Well, either way,
we wouldn't have done a podcast last week because last week Matt was like, "I'm so sick of Ant. I'm not even showing up." So
that's very true. Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome.
No, stop. Thanks, trying Kate. To make I trouble. It. I was working.
Remember how Mark Stunt called in? Oh, that was the best. That was our most great episode, I think. Oh, Mark.
Very true. So I'm with you, Matt. Like, I don't want to see them touch. But as far as this, do you think this segment was good? Because the way I saw it, it was like, listen, I get what they're doing. They're getting us to next week. But I kind of wish after Jericho's promo last week, we didn't see them again tonight.
Right.
Feel like they should have just let them stay off TV.
Yep. Let it breathe. Let that silver oak breathe.
I had a few issues with this. One, we know MJF's been on the Rosie O'Donnell show. Let it go. Real. Unless Rosie O'Donnell's coming out at some point, which would be great. I'm kind of over the Rosie O'Donnell references. Find something else. He's a piece of shit. There's so much to lean into outside of his appearance on the Rosie O'Donnell show. Two, he said a trail of blood and tears, and then multiple times he said a trail of tears. Trail of tears, that is already a thing. I'm not going to go into a history lesson. You can't just go out there and like throw that around real casual. And three, the song that he wrote about MJF was not Fozzy's best work today. This felt bad and juvenile and redundant, where last week felt badass. However, Santana speaking up during this was great, and I would like to see more of him on the microphone a lot. But yeah, I wish that it was just Jericho's promo last week, MJF's this week, nothing next week, and then Blood and Guts. That would be like my ideal lineup of things.
Well, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
I just Googled Trail of Tears.
Yeah. I was actually, Kate, I actually said the same thing to Gina sitting on the couch. I was just like, is he going to mention like the Iroquois and the Algonquins next? Like, where are we going with this? But then I just remembered like, oh, he's Canadian. He probably has no idea about the Trail of Tears. That's an American thing, not a Canadian.
Right, but we probably don't know anything about Canadian history, so he was like, I can't mention any, you know, what's the thing where they kill the aborigine, the indigenous people up there?
They would be Native Canadians, probably.
They like take, like, they live in, like, you know, the middle of nowhere, and they're like indigenous people, and the police, like, there was a thing where the police would like pick them up and then drive them out Sorry, there's a bug in my room. They would like pick them up and then drive them out into like the middle of nowhere and just like kick them out of the car and be like, yeah, find your way back. And it'd be like negative 10 degrees and people would like disappear and they'd die. And then the cops were doing it to just indigenous communities.
That's what Marco Stunt's going to do to you.
I welcome Marco Stunt. Marco, I will DM you my address. I will meet you on the football field across the street from my house. I will fucking drag you around the field by your hair. You little bitch.
Little bitch.
You little bitch. How you like that? I'll make a fucking trail of deers. That's right. I'll drag you around and let all the deers kick you in the head. No?
Just stop.
What's a trail of deers?
It's not a thing.
It
but
is.
I just,
I'm Kate, making it a
Kate,
thing.
We have to... I think we have to ask everybody that we that who listens to this to start a campaign to get Marco Stunt on the Mark Order podcast.
That bring it. You don't want that.
Oh, so I want that.
I want it so bad.
You want me to argue with a little boy?
No, I want you to get your ass kicked by a big, strong little man.
How am I going to get my ass kicked through Zoom?
Who says it's through Zoom? I know where you live. He's from like Asbury Park, isn't he? He's coming for you.
Asbury Park. He's from probably from fucking
you.
Midwestern fucking
you.
Idaho. You fucking hand job. Get out of here. I'll tell you where he's from.
Well, Marco Stunt did not appear next on Dynamite. What did appear next was
he's
T.T.
from
Marshall.
Fucking Arkansas, you fucking gargoyle. Ugh.
As I was saying, Matthew,
better
next
win.
Up on our Dynamite rundown was Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall. We do get a promo insert from the factory, and Anthony Ogogo says he's only in this dump of a country for the big money, and QT says he's going to teach Billy Gunn how little being loyal to the Rhodes family is worth. And we get Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall. And Matt, I know you have to be so excited because during this match, we had the Gunn Club hop over the railing and get into it with Nick Comoroto and Aaron Solo, which means we are going to get a series of Gunn Club matches with Nick Comoroto and Aaron Solo, and it's going to be a long feud containing all the guns, your favorite fucking tag team in all of AEW. I know you have to be stoked. Cutting to the end of this match, QT Marshall did win by pinfall because Anthony Ogogo steps in with the big right hand and puts Billy Gunn down. QT Marshall just comes in and cleans it up.
You know.
So let's stop there. I do want Matt's take on the future long feud we're going to get from the Gun Club and the factory.
First of all, when you address any Marco Stunt talks, just use his real name, please. Noah, you fucking toolbag. Secondly, for someone who is an AEW podcast, Anthony, I'm a little disappointed. You will not see a Gun Club feud. You see a Nightmare Family feud because the Gun Club is part of the Nightmare Family.
But the Gun Club specifically
nope, they
is
represent
going after
the Nightmare Family.
The tag team is the Gun Club.
There it is.
Well, they are not involved in next week's feud against the factory, are they?
They will be involved in some...
Sure.
In
Under
some
the
way.
Banner of the Nightmare, whatever the fuck, factory?
Who cares? I just know that you love
I care.
Colton. I know that you love the Gun Boys. Colton and the other one that I can't
Austin,
remember.
Austin. Austin spits bars like me.
Oh,
have
my
you
God.
Ever heard Austin Gunn rap?
I heard he put an album out. Don't look it
I'm
up.
I'm on it.
What's your... Oh, my God. Kate, what did you think of this match? We'll get to the post-match in a minute.
I really like this version of QT Marshall. I do not care. Care about the Gun Club at all, even a little bit. I hate this. Because we still don't know who Colton and Austin are other than Billy Gunn's kids. I don't even hate. Hate would imply that there's a reaction. Like, I just do not care. And I was thinking, this angle's trash, man. When I was at home.
You have to entertain them. They're the ones that get you over, not you. You do, but it's not you, it's them. It's them. As soon as they all like you, guess who's over? You are.
Now there's another gun coming up. Your son, Austin, is getting into wrestling. He was kind of our connection to you. And I was curious as to, like,
get ready.
Since you're saying it is so different, you don't even know what
get
you would
to the,
to tell
get to the
now,
verse, man.
What, he's coming. Like, he's setting it up.
Helping him become, hopefully, the wrestling.
Here he goes.
The
he's stepping
star
to the mic.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
Turn the bass up.
I don't know. I can make a living off this shit in GoPro. This my promo. Ring needed Frodo, Chewie needed solo. I got a hunch it's gonna happen. Go Quasimodo. Take a photo while I got these cameras in our faces. Dreamed about this moment since the day I tied laces. Mouth full of braces. Getting back to basics.
Just so you know, when you get Noah on the show, I'm gonna get Austin Gunn. We're gonna wrap the rankings.
Wait, I can't use your shoot name, but you're gonna use Marco Stunt's shoot name.
That's the price he pays for trying to be a superstar. Okay, I don't have a Wikipedia.
He's not trying to be. He is one.
He's
guy,
not.
Dude.
He's a little kid. Okay.
Is anybody
hate this angle? Sorry, I like.
I was
Marshall. I cannot stand the Gun Club.
I was going to ask if anybody is as impressed with the shape that Monty Kip Sopp is in at the age of 57.
How about the fact that he's wrestling on a major wrestling promotion in 2021? It's awesome. Yeah. He's a fucking machine.
He is. He looks fantastic.
This might be a very unpopular opinion. I love the Anthony Ogogo fucking punch. I love it.
I liked it better tonight than I did last week.
And I like Nick.
Yeah, I mean,
I like Nick Camarado. I like his crazy wild man hair.
He gives me Bruiser Brody feelings.
Well, it's fun that you bring up Nick Camarado, Matt, because post-match, Anthony Ogogo pulls a wooden chair out. I mentioned to Gina sitting on the couch, why a wooden chair? And I kind of knew where it was going to go. But it was interesting how they just randomly had a wooden chair that some old Italian man would bring to a cemetery to sit by his wife's grave.
Yeah, what? That chair?
Well, they had it, and QT gets it up. But Dustin Rhodes comes in to make the save, for some reason carrying a bull rope. That was unexplained. I thought it was a goddamn saddle for a minute, but he's got a bull rope. And now he's taking it to QT Marshall. Marshall runs off. Anthony Ogogo gets on the apron. But then Nick Camarado gets in. And Rhodes smashes fucking Nick Camarado with that wooden chair over the head. And nothing happens. He just shrugs it off. And the referees come down to break it up. And that's kind of the end right there. So the one thing that really shocked me in that whole segment was Dustin Rhodes' face paint. I thought it was a goddamn face mask. It was pretty cool. That's how I felt about that whole thing.
I think we're all in agreement when I say this. None of us are looking forward to whatever this is with the factory and the Nightmare family. The only silver lining to this is that maybe we get to see a little more of a Nick Camarado. We get to see what Anthony Ogogo's about. Lee Johnson, who I kind of really like. Hopefully this very boring feud will highlight these guys and elevate them a little. Not saying any of them are going to be instant world champions, but, you know, maybe you could buy, like, let's say Darby's still the champion in a couple months, like Lee Johnson challenging Darby, you know, can have like a Jungle Boy feel to it where maybe you think Lee Johnson can walk out. I love the angle when they shot it of the QT chain, you know, heel turn with all these guys. This afterwards is just kind of Attitude Era-ish where everyone just has something to do. It's just something I'm not interested in at all.
They needed to have Cody there. Because nobody else is over enough. I guess maybe Dustin at the end to make this feel important. Like, you can't just put over guys. You can't put over guys with the gun club. No.
Well, my whole thing too is, and I felt the same way, Kate. I'm like, isn't this whole thing because of Cody? So why wouldn't he come out?
He has a pregnant wife. He has a TV, two TV shows. He's a very busy man, Anthony. He doesn't have time for QT Marshall.
Don't put this on TV then.
I will say this. John Moxley, with a pregnant wife on his anniversary, showed up to put Nick Gage through light tubes. So don't say that there's not enough time in the day because other people are doing it.
Look, different strokes for different folks, okay?
Clearly, it just seemed empty. I'm with Kate. It seemed empty. The guy that should have been there wasn't there because the whole thing revolves around Cody. Anyway, moving on. We come back from a commercial and we're in the Elite's tour bus. Don Callis is putting the Elite over as an incredible assortment of talent. Matt Jackson starts to say that they're the spark of the AEW revolution. Nick points out that it's not all Moxley Kingston wrestling and says that they can come find them. And then they start to hear honking outside and Kenny's starting to get frustrated because he can't put two words together. So Gallows looks out the window and they cut outside and it's now Moxley and Kingston in a truck and they ram into the trailer. And then when they get out, Kingston asks Mox if he's got the pipe, which he of course does. And they circle around to smash the windows of the trailer, open the trailer to confront them, but they have run off. And then they talk some shit and they go back to their car, call them cowards and bitches and all that kind of stuff. Now, my problem with this, when they go around to the door of the trailer, there are clearly no lights on. Like, it was clearly spliced together and you knew it, but it just, to me, it didn't work. And I was with Kate before when she was saying this could have been a great way for them to have some synergy with Impact. Like, it probably should have been Rich Swann and some of the Impact guys. I'm with Kate as far as the fact that, like, since it wound up being Moxley and Kingston, you know, it's not all that of a loss. I just think that this wasn't really pulled off that well. Like, they had their trailer rammed and now they all just ran off. Like, they're nowhere to be found close by. I don't know. It just kind of was like weird for me. But Kate, you are an Eddie Kingston mark. Why don't you give your opinions on this whole thing?
Okay, so I don't know what this was. I didn't hate it. It just didn't make a ton of sense. It should, to me, have absolutely been somebody from Impact if they were going to do this angle. I think John Moxley said, "I told you to stop stealing people's sneakers." That popped me because that was funny. But I just... it just seemed like very unnecessary, and it also didn't seem like something that like John Moxley and Eddie Kingston would do. I don't know. It just felt all over the place to me. And I felt like this absolutely should have been a place to promote Impact Rebellion, full stop. Like, whether Rich Swann is there or not, this should have been a promo that does that, because that's the thing that the champion is doing next. It makes total sense. Loving the fashion, however. Matt Jackson with those like white loafers and his shorts today. Oh, killing it on the heel of fashion. Loving it.
The leather Kangols are also pretty awesome.
Boom.
Matt, your take on this? You look like you're in pain.
This was the dumbest shit I've seen all night. It was not necessary. It was completely unnecessary. To Anthony's point, you go around, you could tell there's no fucking lights on inside. There's fucking 100 of them. But the time they look out the window and then the time they're nowhere to be found. Come on, I'm not a fucking moron. This was dumb. Yeah. This was so dumb. Fuck, take this off and put a fucking women's squash match on.
I would rather have seen Jade Cargill, that's for sure.
So would Anthony. Get this shit out of my TV. Yep. I didn't like this.
Yeah.
So fucking there. John Moxley and Eddie Kingston are the fucking buddy cops now. Get fucking out of here. You got the pipe? You almost hit me with the pipe. Oh, you threw it through the window. You almost got me. You got to tell me when to move out of the way when you're going to throw shit. You two fucking dummies. Get out of here. You fucking Tango and Cash wannabes. This shit annoyed me.
Clearly. So let's move on.
Onward.
We go to Christian Cage and Powerhouse Will Hobbs. I think we all knew kind of the way this was going to go. Christian Cage wins by pinfall with the kill switch. He hits it pretty quick at the end. Listen, I thought it was a good showing for both wrestlers. You know, Powerhouse Hobbs really hasn't had time to shine on TV on his own. So I thought it was pretty good showing for him. Cage looked good. I didn't necessarily have a problem with this. What was of interest to me is after the match, Ricky Starks comes out to kind of make sure that Will Hobbs is okay, and he starts eyeballing Christian Cage. So I'm hoping we get Ricky Starks and Christian Cage because that could be money to me. Matt, what'd you think of this? Any issues?
No issues. I thought this was better than the Christian Kazarian match, and I really liked that match. I thought both guys looked great. Love things I never thought I wanted to see, but I want to see Christian against Ricky Starks. All in on this. Sign me up. Let's do it. And I guess Taz hates Christian. I don't know, but let Christian mow down his whole team.
Yeah, well, Christian didn't want to join Team Taz. So guess what, motherfucker? Now your team is losing all over the place, aren't they, on AEW Dynamite? So what you get when you shit talk Jersey on AEW Dark, Taz.
All right, easy there with your fucking white girl Jersey pride bullshit. Jesus Christ.
It's mostly fun because I'm not even technically from New Jersey. But I thought this match was great. And I said in the Discord, and I'll just reiterate here, that you would just never know that Christian hadn't been doing this for the past 7 years. His conditioning is fantastic, especially against a guy like Hobbs. The pacing, I think, worked to that advantage because Hobbs is a bigger dude, so they were able to go a little slower. But man, there's not rust with Christian. He looked great. So I like this. I really want to see him in Starks, especially after what we saw out of Starks earlier in this episode.
Well, moving on from here, we get the hype up for next week's card. The preview card for next week is Penta El Cero versus Orange Cassidy. We'll get Chris Statlander versus Penelope Ford coming back from her honeymoon. We'll see what kind of shape Kate's in next week. The Young Bucks versus the Seidel brothers. We'll get a trios match, the Nightmare Family versus the Factory. The Inner Circle and Pinnacle will have their parlay ahead of Blood and Guts. And then Brian Cage will take on Hangman Page. So it should be a pretty good card next week. We also got a hype reel out of Jade Cargill where she's talking about various parties want to recruit her. But she says she doesn't need a manager, and anybody that wants her in their stable will have to pay. And then we go to break before our main event. Kate, shut up. I'm talking about Jade.
You didn't even part.
Shut the fuck up, Kate. It's Jade. Jesus. Here. You can't demand a bit. It's like saying, you know, do your impression. It's like, you know.
That's weird. You would say something like that. Interesting.
It felt like with an AEW women's match, like how you have your criteria, like, it felt like Jade wasn't even on my screen unless you were telling everyone to shut the fuck up.
It was very quick, and I did do it in the Discord. So now we go to our main event. We get Darby Allin versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry for the AT&T, AEW TNT Championship. That would have really been corporate synergy, huh? So, guys, I think when they announced this over the weekend, the immediate thought was, wow, this has, you know, like, this has high caliber, fast paced, you know, heavy hitting match all over it. And I think it delivered 100%. I mean, they went to the wire with this. I didn't think they were actually going to finish this on time. I thought that they were going to run out of time for this. But a lot of crazy shit that you would expect out of these two in this match. Cutting to the finish, Darby Allin does win by pinfall with the Last Supper to retain the AEW TNT Championship. It was actually a pretty quick finish after going back and forth for a bunch of the match. I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. Post-match, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page come out and beat down both Jungle Boy and Darby Allin. Page does hit the Ego's Edge on Darby. Scorpio Sky picks up a leg and grabs it with a heel hook on Darby, but then Lance Archer comes out and tries to take them both out, but he gets low blowed and beat down. But Sting finds his way out to the ring.
It's Sting!
Thank you, Noah Anthony Schiavone. And now Sting is in the ring with Lance. He's got his bat. Him and Archer basically running everybody off. And that is the end of the night. So, what did we think about the match and the post-match antics, which look like they could be lining up a few things? Let's go to Matt first, or
that's Trixie.
I don't know if I'm going to get Trixie's butthole here, but Matt, I think you're behind it.
No, Trixie's not big. Trixie's not big on the butthole. She's a proper lady. She's going to sit right by. Oh, she's stick her face on the. All right, Trix. The match, I really liked the match. I really was hoping Jungle Boy would win. Kind of not into Darby as the TNT champion. I thought when Jungle Boy had him in the snare trap, that was going to be a wrap. Like the finish, capping kind of out of nowhere. Loved Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky hitting the ring. My only problem with that is Jungle Boy's already in a fucking tag team. Is he going to team with Darby Allin, or is Darby going to team with Lance Archer to take on these two hooligans? I'm hoping it's Darby and Lance Archer because Sting came out to save Lance at the end. I hope Jungle Boy is out of the picture. He can go back to running around with fucking Tommy from Rugrats and the dinosaur. I liked it. I liked it all. A lot of spoons.
It could be cool, though, Darby and Jungle Boy versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I mean, that also is has, you know, good potential. I'm with you, though. It should be, like, Lance involved in it since there's the issue. But if they did decide to do Jungle Boy and Darby versus, you know, Ethan Page and Scorpio, I think that's got good potential to it. Kate, what did you think?
Y'all's thinking about tag teams when this could be individual feuds. It could be Scorpio and Darby again. It could be Scorpio and Jungle Boy and Ethan Page versus Darby. Doesn't have to be a tag team because they're allies, but this match I think was the strongest of Darby's championship reign without a doubt. It was really refreshing to see him tell a completely different story than he has, just because it's an opponent of similar stature or close enough, at least in the ballpark, to Darby as much as anyone's gonna be. And stylistically, I just felt like this was awesome. The coffin drop on the apron was absolutely bananas. There were a few spots in this match, like you said, that were and to be expected. I actually really like this for Darby. I'm glad that Jungle Boy didn't win, because I feel like maybe we're starting to dig into, like, I think his whole reign was getting stalled by the whole Team Taz and his partnership with Sting. And maybe now we're starting to like dig into multiple defenses and stuff like that. So I think we're getting to see more of what Darby has to offer. And I really liked that promo on Elevation. So hopefully this feels like champion Darby a little bit more. But man, when I saw this main event and thought about how the show started, I was like, Darby and Jungle Boy, stars of the future, stars of right now. Hangman Adam Page and Ricky Starks, stars of the future, stars of right now. MJF in the middle somewhere, star of right now, star of the future. Like, it just, to open and close the show with these kind of bleeding edge generation talents was something that was really, really awesome. And that wasn't relying on anybody but themselves, really. So I just thought that was really great to see in general. And yeah, what a high energy, really fun story to tell to close out the show. I loved in the beginning where they were kind of like trading spots a little bit, where it kept being like, I'm gonna get you. And then they sneak away. I'm gonna get you. They sneak away. Just really, really well done all around. And post-match antics, I think they're gonna be individual feuds. Very intrigued to see how Lance Archer plays into this, if he is shedding the snake skin, so to speak. If we're done with Jake and he's going under Sting's umbrella now, possibly, or definitely feels like he's turning pretty hardcore babyface right now. So we will see where that goes.
Well, either way, that's the end of the show. That's the end of Dynamite for the night. It looks like next week's card should be pretty interesting, and we'll see if there's any fallout from the matches tonight. So I thought it was a pretty cool show. As far as news and notes, just to wrap things up from the week, we already talked about kind of the future touring plans that it looks like JR saying in July they're going to head back out on the road, which kind of makes sense because when you look at all the dates that they've pushed out their shows to, it kind of starts to take place late summer, early fall. So that would make sense. Kate.
Yeah,
we had a poll this week Twitter.
It was super fun. Everybody was talking about how stable happy AEW has been, so I was just intrigued to see which stables people are the most intrigued by, and it was a pretty heavy split of people being very into the Dark Order still, which I thought was cool because they've been one of the first stables to exist, and very into the Pinnacle, which has been one of the newer ones, which I thought was really cool. They were kind of like that. Those two were split and getting probably like 70% of the pot a little bit versus this Elite 2.0 and the Inner Circle 2.0. People seemed less interested in, but I think because those are both vehicles, you know, Inner Circle is definitely like in a transition-y thing that we'll see what happens with at Blood and Guts, and the Reformation of the Elite, I think, seems to be a vehicle for championships more than people being like very interested in the stable, it seemed like. But it was fun. That was a fun poll to do because there's so many stables and there's been so much talk about it. It was fun to learn what people are the most interested in.
Interesting. Very interesting. And a good reason to keep your eye on our Twitter. Might be something we do weekly, right? Throw up a weekly poll. We'll talk about it when we get back on the show next week. Final note was, boy, the Ivelisse drama seems to continue, huh? So she got released last week. She put up some tweets where everybody assumed it was Thunder Rosa, and then I think she took them all down. But I guess over the weekend she did an interview with Lucha Libre Online. And she went a little deeper on some of the circumstances around her release. With regards to Thunder Rosa, she said, at the beginning, everything seemed great, and I had my hopes through the roof. I was very happy, but I will be very honest with you. I said that at the first day of my release, I felt valued and happy, but one person was doing everything to damage my position here. It was Thunder Rosa. I was in shock, definitely, but not as much, because I had already recalled everything that went on in the past, so I had an idea. I noticed too late just how much damage was made to my name, and I only realized after analyzing the chain of events from everything that went on, and it made a lot more sense, because this and this happened because of this and whatever, it was fair or not. Again, I understand wrestling and its politics, but the fact that someone was bought in as strongly, that is what shocked me the most, especially during a pandemic. She also went on to talk about how she had personal struggles after signing with AEW, and that she was kind of like dealing with depression while fans were kind of wondering why she was off TV. And she spoke about it in kind of terms of what women are facing in wrestling, and also just in the world in general. So, interesting, guys. She's still kind of stuck on her release being because of Thunder Rosa, while she doesn't necessarily, you know, say any specific incidences. I think we all are very aware of the incidents where she was critically no-selling in the ring with Thunder Rosa. But I don't think your jealousy should cause you to no-sell anything to the level she was in the ring. I mean, are we tired? Are we over this? I mean, this is kind of ridiculous that she is constantly dredging this up. And Kate and I talked about it a little last week, Matt. You weren't here to give us your take, but it just seems weird. While she did have issues at places where there clearly were issues, you know, Lucha Underground and, you know, working with DeMott in the WWE, you know, clearly there's issues there, but she's had other issues that have kind of come up where it seems like she's the issue. So this isn't necessarily like trying to victim blame here, but it's kind of hard to take her word for this. And we still, you know, AEW and Thunder Rosa haven't commented on the release, so we don't know any real reasons, but like, is this getting ridiculous?
Is it? I think it's beyond ridiculous. Look, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. She's the common factor in all these issues, right? She could have been a professional. She did this to herself. You went on national TV and you wrestled Thunder Rosa and you decided you were going to do what you wanted to do. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Everyone sees that. People watching in the back see that. And nobody wants to fucking work with you. You know, if you're sandbagging Thunder Rosa, who's not to say when I get my shot, you're not going to fucking sandbag me because you're in this, you know, you have your own agenda. It's all about Ivelisse. You know, obviously there's two sides to every story, but, you know, if you've been, I've been doing a wrestling podcast for 10 years, like this shit happens all the time and it's easy to be like, it's always somebody else's fault. It's Anthony's fault. It's Kate's fault. It's Nelly's fault. Yes, it's always Marco Stunt's fault. Like, it's easy to blame other people. Look, she fucked up. She done fucked up and it cost her her job. You know, I hope that she's seeking the proper, you know, help she needs for her depression that sucks, especially during the pandemic. I get it. It's fucking super shitty for a lot of people. I think, like, her house burned down or her apartment caught fire, too, during all this. Like, I get it. But don't, you know, your job is to get in the wrestling ring and perform. And if fucking Edge and Matt Hardy can put on a wrestling match after Edge stole his fucking girlfriend while he was out injured, like, you can put aside whatever you have with Thunder Rosa for 12 minutes or however much time you had and go out there and prove that you're worthy of being out there and justify AEW for signing you. Instead, you chose to do something differently. And that's a shitty attitude to have. So I don't feel bad for her from that aspect. I hope she gets the help she needs. I hope things turn around with her. You know, let sleeping dogs lie. She's pulling the old Jim Cornette. She wants to keep her name relevant. She wants to stay out there. It's over. It's done with. You're a free agent. Go find a fucking other job. The world's going to open up in 6 months, hopefully, and then you can go do all your indie bookings and whatever. That's my piece on Ivelisse. Booyashaka!
God, spitting rhymes all day, Matt Bowman. Said it again. Yeah, I mean, this is, we talked about this last week, but just as a thing to add on top of it, I would just say that, like, there's, if you don't do your job, you're going to get fired no matter what that job is, right? Whether it's wrestling or anything else. And she went out there and she didn't do her job, and she did it very intentionally for everyone to see. So, hope she gets the help she needs. I feel like the fact that she was talking to, like, LuchaLibre.com or whatever is pretty telling. It's not, none of my wrestling boyfriend best friends are chomping at the bit for that story. Sean Ross is taking everybody's interviews from the WWE releases. He's not interested in talking to Evil East. But yeah, just unprofessional in the ring and then unprofessional on your ring out, like on your way out. Good luck on getting hired by a promotion again. Like, just not a good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we talked about it last week, kid. I just wanted to make sure we got Matt's kind of take on it. So thanks, Matt. But that's all we have for this week. Pretty quiet, and we discussed everything else. So that's going to bring us into the end of episode 4 of the Mark Order podcast. Check us out on social. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Mark Order Pod. Check us out there. We're also hanging out in the Shining Wizards Discord, so you can join us in there. But that's going to do it for us tonight. So for Matt, for Kate, I'm Aunt Money, signing off. Tune in next week, same time, same channel.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.